Oh shit, we are live.
Monday, Monday, Monday. Gentlemen, how are you this fine Monday evening?
I'm great, and I feel even better to know that we're live on the rant.
I hit the button.
Fuck yeah.
Of course we're live on the rant. We're live on the rant. We're live on Facebook. We're live on Twitch. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitter.
Oh yeah. All of it, baby. All of it.
It's your Monday Night Delight, episode 563 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And boy, do we have a show for you. We have Vincent in like 15 minutes. We have the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith, at 8:30. We got Final Battle to talk about. We got Dynamite to talk about. We got the NWA. We got Impact. We got MLW. We got New Japan Pro Wrestling. My throat's still a little hoarse.
I can't wait to hear what you did this weekend.
I had a fucking great time this week. My whole week was fantastic. I had a great week. I had lots of fun. I went to lots of wrestling shows.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, fellas. Tony's on time. Holly Jolly Tony.
I just hate that my fucking head looks so shiny every single time we do the show. Like, look at this.
It's really not that bad. I didn't notice it till you said it.
Well, now you're not going to unsee it. That's the problem.
Perhaps.
No, it's okay. I don't need to look at you.
Perhaps we should get you one of those white girl lights, and then you could turn all the other lights off.
Just look at me.
Yeah, and you put it behind
Rob Conway. Very underrated theme song.
Of course. Just look at me.
Have you guys done the gimmick with the circle light around the camera? Have you seen that?
That's why I just suggested to Tony, a white girl light.
Oh, that's what that is?
I mean, I don't know the proper name, but I call it a white girl light.
Please tell me why you call it a white girl light.
Because all the fucking white girls use it for TikTok and Instagram and whatever other thirst trap photos they're posting on the internet.
All right. I mean, I've seen reputable podcasters use it too. Right?
Yeah, but reputable podcaster light doesn't have the same ring as white girl light.
No, when you're white, you're right. But not when you're right, you're right.
Waboo. I know, I was looking for it. It's on my left now.
All right. I like white girl light.
All right. So, Tony, are you doing the themes, the intros, the whole nine tonight? You have all that pulled up?
What am I, a fucking amateur? Come on now.
Oh, good. Then I can close Farrago on my end.
Yeah, Farrago.
Farrago's out of here. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight, boys.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all coming next. Oh, let me hold on. I got to do this.
Oh, shit. What do you got to do? Oh, you got to click the clicks.
Click the clicks. It's all coming next here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 563.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. Become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Ian Riccaboni, the voice of Ring of Honor, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
The fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
You are tuned in live to episode 563 of the Shining Wizards. We got an action-packed, action-full show tonight for all of you. Welcome to everybody listening to us live on the rant, rantiumradio.com. Welcome to everybody watching us live on the FaceSpace, on the Twitter, everywhere else. I don't even know where we are. Where else are we? We're on Twitch. We're on YouTubes. Everywhere else. And of course, we are in your pockets, in your car stereos. We are everywhere via download from your greatest and favorite place to get podcasts, because we are everywhere. We love everybody just the same. but welcome to the Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
KJG.
Fellas, what's going on?
You almost did it again.
No, see, that's not the gimmick. This is the gimmick. The points, I got to point this way for Matt and this way for you. That's and right. I always fuck it up because I don't know which way to point.
But we can call you HJT today.
Thanks, bro.
Holly Jolly Tony.
Well, all right, good.
HJT.
You put the name in to the thing. What did you think was going to happen?
The thing. I don't know. I thought I was being clever. I didn't realize you guys
were
a bunch of jack wagons.
But, you know, HJ stands for hand job. You should have thought about that before you became HJT.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hand job, yeah, Tony.
Guess I'm going to have to change my name then.
I mean, it fits regardless, so you're good.
Thanks.
I mean, you're welcome.
It's funny. If nothing else, it's funny.
Oh, Jingle Balls Tony. I like that.
Jingle Balls Tony?
That I can live with, not hand job. Jingle Balls I can live with.
How you fellas doing this week?
Living large, baby. Living large.
Aces, brother. Aces.
Yeah, everyone's good?
Fuck
everyone's
yeah.
good, man.
What's that shirt you got on there, Kevin?
Oh, this is a good Windy City Kid TJ Crawford t-shirt. TJC. Oh, nice. Yeah, my man's on the shelf. Went under the knife, so I figured I'd buy a shirt to show him some love.
Very nice. Very
former
nice.
Guest of the show was very kind and sent us a little video for the 10-year. So big. Matt. Well, you all right?
Yeah.
Matt looked like he was about to have a seizure.
No, I'm good. It's you know, so like the last week or so, I've had battling this cold. I've had this cough and this sore throat, and then when you go to wrestling shows and you yell a bunch, it doesn't do you any good.
No, certainly not.
So I feel pretty good though. I feel great actually.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. And so my niece's COVID test came back negative. So she was sent home from school because of exposure. So she's negative. So we're all good. No need to mask up around the house anymore.
Nice.
So that's awesome. Had a low-key weekend, but Matt, you had a... Tony, do you have anything that you want to get out before we dive deep into Matt's weekend?
Absolutely not. Let's get into Matt's weekend.
You have a couple minutes before our first guest. Matt, why don't you tell us who our first guest is, by the way?
We'll be joined by Vincent shortly, possibly the last member of the ROH six-man tag team champions. The fourth time he's captured that gold. Yeah. So he'll be joining us. But yeah, I went to Final Battle Saturday. I jumped in the old car with the Mark Warder crew of Kate and Anthony. We cruised on down to Baltimore. We hit that Jimmy Seafood. We met up with old Milwaukee Tom.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, man. Matt, have you been to Jimmy Seafood before?
No, that was the first time we've ever been to Jimmy
Seafood. It's nice, right?
It lived up to the hype, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Did you admire the wall?
As we walked in, we did admire the wall, but I am a psychopath and I have to be early for everything, so there was no time to fuck around.
That's right. I love Jimmy Seafood. It's incredible.
I wanted to get the Jimmy's. I wanted to eat. I wanted to go check into the hotel. I wanted to put my feet up for a couple minutes, and then I wanted to head over to the Final Battle.
What hotel did you stay in? This is such a boring detail, but I just want to know.
We stayed at the Doubletree.
Okay. No, it's not. All right. Yeah.
I heard that's a lie, by the way. I heard there's more than two trees there.
Maybe buds.
Yeah, maybe a lot of shrubbery.
Yeah, I think so. Some greens, you know.
But
some bonsai trees.
We had lunch, and then we went up and we met Milwaukee Tom, who was meeting his friends upstairs in the bar. We said our hellos, and then we went about our way. Checked in, cleaned up a little bit, threw us some deodorant. And then headed on over to the show. And we ran into Milwaukee Tom again. And excuse me, he had informed us that he was upgrading his seats. And as Tony noticed watching Ring of Honor the other night, he upgraded to the fucking front row.
Baller.
Yep. Look, Milwaukee Tom, I give Milwaukee Tom, Kate, they're people of the people. They can, what's the word I'm looking for?
Relate?
Network. They network. Well, they network well with people. So Kate was networking, and that's why we ended up at the DoubleTree, because that's where the wrestlers were staying.
You pulled one of those moves.
Well, I didn't pull anything. Kate was networking because she knows she's got people that want to meet her. And then Milwaukee Tom, I guess, has this whole crew of people. What do you want upstairs? He was sitting at a table with like 12 people.
Wait, holding like, court?
Upstairs at Jimmy's or upstairs at the UB?
Upstairs at Jimmy's.
So you were in the actual dining. Well, that's it's like a huge room, so right?
We were downstairs in the actual dining room.
Right, and the bar is connected to it.
Well, there's a bar upstairs too.
Right. Okay. That's where I think
walk through the dining room. They made you go outside and go up the stairs. So, they network, so they get fun perks. I don't want to talk to anybody, so I just am there. I'm there with a Jack and Coke in my hand, ready for whatever happens next.
That's awesome, man. Matt Spock, Milwaukee Tom, Spockamania, Red and Wild. Yes.
So we had eyes on Big Tom all night. We ended up in the family section. So we were next to the whole Briscoe family.
They had front row too, though, I thought.
Oh, they all went down.
For that match?
For that match, yeah. They were all next to us. And then halfway through the 8-man tag match, the whole fucking section got up and went down. So we watched that. So that was pretty fun.
So how did that happen? What happened to the people that were in those seats already?
What are you going to tell the Briscoes to get out of the way?
Well, I mean,
they were just standing there. They weren't in seats.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
I won't lie. Milwaukee Tom was a little peeved that those little kids were in his way.
I'd be pissed off too. Fuck
them. Oh, kids. So they went directly to Milwaukee Tom's location.
Yeah, they went right to that corner.
Milwaukee Tom's the fucking mayor. That's why.
You know who else was there?
Kate.
No, Kate and Anthony, obviously. Oh. In the section next to us, with seats, Gino Medina.
No way. Did you talk to El Intocable or no?
I saw him get up once and I'm like, that dude looks, and it wasn't like, dude, he was dressed like a wrestler. He was dressed like a wrestler. Like he had his slacks on. He had a nice shirt on. Like I was like, this is, and he was with a fine looking lady. And then I saw him come and go once. And then I saw him get up again. And as he was walking past, he yelled, Gino Medina. And he turned around and he looked at me.
Why is that? I know the name because I remember making the joke Funky Cold Medina all the time. But who was he?
He works for MLW.
Yeah, he was.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Don't you hate him?
Yeah.
Who?
Very very short lived member of the Dynasty. I think he was on for like two episodes. And
I mean, like as a character, hate him, not like really hate him.
No, he's a dick. I don't like him.
Wasn't he part of? He was part of some group that you didn't like, right? Was he?
No, he was part of Dynasty.
Bro.
Do you know Medina was part of Dynasty?
For like two episodes.
Is he a big guy?
Yo, you need to get your earbuds, bro. I just said this whole thing.
I can't find them. I don't know where they are. I literally used them to watch Ring of Honor yesterday.
I'm giving Kevin a pass because his headphones are fucked up, but I like to fucking needle him once in a while the way he needles me, so it's all good. You're good. You're good, God. Dude.
Your earbuds stink.
Well, I tell you who didn't stink, Matt, because he put his deodorant on before he went to the fucking show.
What an important detail.
You know what, though? At a Ring of Honor show, it probably was.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Bro, the people in front of us, bro, someone smelled like nachos.
Did you get hungry?
I was like, every once in a while, you'd smell like tortilla chips, and I kept looking around like, who's got nachos? And then they left. Kate's like, those people fucking stunk. That's what that smell was.
And for Kate to point it out.
I was so jacked up to go that I forgot to put deodorant on when I left the house for the car ride.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
After I took my shower, so we got like halfway to Baltimore, and I was like, oh, man, I didn't put deodorant on.
Oh, no.
So you're not a shower before the show guy?
I did. I just said it.
You showered before the trip. You didn't shower before the show.
No.
Dude, my pits would have been uncomfortable 5 minutes after the shower if I didn't.
See, I'm not a very sweaty person like that unless I'm like working. I was driving. I was sitting in the car driving. It did no damage.
No, like I could tell within 5 minutes that I forgot to put my deodorant on. Like that's just...
I'm a fucking space cadet.
I would leave work and go to CVS and get deodorant.
I've done that. I've left school to go do it. I've left work. You got fucking.
That's my biggest fear. You guys know that. My biggest fear is smelling bad.
Yeah.
First thing I did when I got to the hotel before we went to the show.
Were you pitting? Did you stink?
No, I didn't stink. I just put some fucking deodorant. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put some deodorant on.
You didn't put it on in the car while you were driving?
No, it was in the trunk in my.
Oh, wait. Hold on. We got breaking news. Okay, right. Someone beat me to it.
We both went to click it at the same time.
How could you not click that? Aunt Russ says something like that. How could you not put it on the screen?
It was that large dude's ass crack. Oh, and Vincent's in queue. I hope he's seeing this.
Listen, if your ass crack smells like nachos, it's not the biggest concern.
It wasn't necessarily nachos. It was like corn chips.
All right, that's different. Like corn chips has a distinct funky smell.
I would be concerned too. He was a big guy too. It was rough. Mr. Vincent, right. How are you?
Hello. I joined in right at the ass crack. So that's about as much as I got out of that whole thing.
There you go.
But how are you guys?
Good. How are you, Vincent?
I'm good. Good. Good.
Very busy weekend for you. You were here in Jersey. Friday night, ISPW against.
Yeah, man, that was a really really fun show, and I actually thought that Nikos Rikos guy was really good. I kind of heard of him before, but I the first time ever wrestling him, and I thought he was actually really good.
Yeah, I'd read an article about you talking about, you know, how you got into ISPW, and good friend of the show Crowbar hooked you up, huh?
He did, and I think it's going to be me and Crowbar tying up soon at ISPW, nice. So, which I've never done either. So that's the cool thing about, you know, everything that's going on is I haven't really done anything on the independents for, like, you know, God, you know, other than like the few like Northeast Wrestling here and there, like those one-off things that we were able to do, but in like, you know, 6 years. So it was kind of cool to, like, you know, just wrestle different people and, you know, be on different shows.
And that show was in Butler.
Yeah
Butler, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Nikos is he's a Pat Buck Kevin Matthews trainee, Mario Bokara trainee. So he's been around for a while. He's been improving constantly. So that's great to hear that you had a good match with him.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought he was fantastic. He was really good. He was, you know, he didn't stop running his mouth to those people. It was fantastic. It was and very entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, very entertaining. You opened the show Saturday night, Final Battle, the End of an Era. Mm-hmm. And I think it was kind of fitting. You walk out, six-man tag champs, first ever Ring of Honor six-man tag champs, and hopefully not the last.
Yeah.
The whole night was super emotional. I was there. The atmosphere was unbelievable. What was the whole experience like for you?
I mean, it was crazy. You know, at first when you know, I got to the building, and it just kind of felt like just another, you know, another Ring of Honor day. But as it got closer, and, you know, more people kind of filed in, you know, and you're just talking to everybody that you've, you know, been on the, you know, road with for the last, you know, for me, 6 years. Even before that, I mean, I started doing dark matches in like 2011. So, like, I've been around Ring of Honor for a pretty long time, you know, and then contracted in 2016. But, you know, as it got closer to the show, I was kind of like, you know, I was like, wow, this could be potentially it right here. This is, I mean, as far as the Final Battle goes and like this era, like this is it. You know, once my music comes on, this is it. So I think I'm going to really, you know, enjoy this one and dance on the barricade and stuff. And, you know, I did. But it was you know, it was bittersweet, man. And like, you know, the first ever Ring of Honor six man tag team champion, and then the last ever for this era, is just kind of a cool thing. And I'm really, you know, and I'll kind of let this guy out of the bag. It doesn't really matter now, but it was supposed to be me versus Jay Lethal at Final Battle. And that's kind of where that was headed. You know, unfortunately with everything happening, you know, it didn't really go that way, which is, you know, I think, you know, the, you know, Lethal and Gresham for the world title was made the most sense. And I thought that was, you know, a good move. And, as far as I'm concerned, but, you know, doing the six man thing, you know, with, I really liked it because now it's almost like, you know, when I did it with the Kingdom, it was like, you know, Taven at the forefront and then me and TK. And at this time, it was like me, you know, with my crew now winning the six-man tag titles. It was just kind of like a cool full circle kind of thing. But like now, like, you know, Dutch and Bateman being able to hold these things for the first time ever for those guys was kind of a cool thing for me, you know what I mean? Because they're my buddies and, you know, it was cool. It was great. It was great to see, you know, them having that moment on Final Battle for those two guys, you know, because like Bateman's been around for so long, he's been worked hard, and Dutch, same thing. I mean, Dutch has already been fired once with like when he was in FCW. So like Dutch has been around wrestling for a very long time too. So it was a cool thing to like share that moment with some like really close friends again, you know what I mean? And see them get theirs, you know? We would like to defend them on the indies, you know what I mean? If we can bring the six-man tag titles, you know, and maybe possibly make them, you know, mean something, you know, all over the place, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
So you guys are essentially in the dark as to what the future holds. Like, you took the titles with you, it's home. Mm-hmm. It's kind of yours to do whatever you like with.
Yeah, I have no idea what the future holds, honestly. I know just about as much as anybody, you know. I have no idea. And like, and you know, that was such a big night that I think that was the focus, you know what I mean? Nothing was really, it was like, let's, you know, it's the final battle, so let's focus on this. So like everybody was pretty much focused on that more than anything. So, you know, I guess just time will tell.
Yeah, and you can see that the Righteous family is bleeding over. I know you were involved in the Dutch Dan Barry match at Beyond, and mm-hmm. you yourself have a match now against Dan Barry at Beyond Wrestling's Heavy Lies the Crown on New Year's Eve.
Correct.
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Worcester. Worcester. Yeah. Bro. It is spelt like Worcester. Yeah. I get it.
Fucking Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right. So. Even that is funny because, like, Beyond, when I was coming up in the indie scene in New England, Beyond was kind of one of those places that I always kind of wanted to be a part of. And it never really panned out. Like, I did, like, one or two things for them. But as far as being, like, you know, going there continuously, it never kind of worked out either. It just didn't line up. You know, any schedules didn't line up. Like, everything just didn't line up, like, the way, you know, like I would have liked it to. So I never got the chance. So I kind of, you know, coming out after Dan Barry and Dutch there was kind of cool, you know what I mean? Just to kind of like go out there afterwards, here I am, you know, and then kind of go forward from there. And now being like, you know, a part of it and the New Year's Eve thing is pretty sweet. So that's one of those like things that I always kind of like had in the back of my mind, you know, for the longest time that I was like, oh, I wish I was a part of that, like when I was coming up, but I wasn't. But now hopefully I can kind of like, you know, be a big part of Beyond Wrestling, you know, which would be pretty cool.
What do you think, regardless of how long Ring of Honor may lay dormant, but what do you think this will do for other companies in terms of independent wrestling and how that will affect all these other companies will now benefit from this complete influx of talent that are now going to be allowed to work other places?
Yeah, man, it's crazy, you know, because, like, you got to figure, like, the Ring of Honor, there's, like, so many of us, you know what I mean? And then, like, you know, there's other guys, too, from other companies that, you know, are, you know, hopping back on the indies, too. It's just, like, the indie scene right now is insane. So I think, like, you know, and even the guys that, you know, are on been on the indies, you know, are, you know, there's a lot of amazing talent out there to begin with. So, like, I just think like now a lot of these like indie places and independent promotions are just going to kind of like thrive, man, with all these like different people and like different matchups you can have now with no kind of, you know, there's no barrier there. There's no handcuffs on the situation. So like now you can see just like, you know, whoever, you know, all your favorites wrestling each other, you know what I mean? And whatever kind of like dream matches or first time match kind of stuff you want to do or whatever. Like, it's just, I think it's going to be crazy for the better. I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be wild. So.
And so let me ask you this. Do you see this thought that just came to me? Do you foresee any new independents popping up because they see all this talent around and they're just like, all right, we got to strike now because we can put on some really great shows.
Sure. I mean, you know, I I don't know. It's wrestling. Wrestling's crazy, and things happen at, you know, at the drop of a hat. Like, there's so quickly, you know what I mean? So, like, I wouldn't put it past me. I mean, look at Terminus is already kind of happening. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. So, which was a very cool thing, you know, a vision that, you know, Gresham has and Baron there. So, like, you know, that's a vision that they want to come alive, and it seems like it's heading in that direction that they want it to. So, like, absolutely, like, you know, no doubt in my mind.
So you are at ARW in Cocoa, Florida on December 19th. We mentioned Beyond Wrestling. And then the Northeast Wrestling promotion, January 22nd, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. You mentioned before you haven't been able to do a lot of indies. What is your level of excitement? Are you looking to do something different now that you're going to get the opportunity? And who is somebody that you haven't had a chance to work with that you're hoping you can check off of your wrestling card?
Ooh. Oh, that's a tough one, because there's so many talented people out there and there's so many great wrestlers. It's hard. I'm excited to be, you know, back on the indies and doing different stuff. I mean, like we just talked about earlier with that ISPW thing with Nikos Rigos. It was exciting, dude. I never worked with him before. I never been on his show before. You know, it was a good crowd. Everybody was enjoying themselves. It was just kind of cool to kind of have that vibe again, just to kind of like be in front of like excited people to see wrestling, you know, no matter where it is. And so I'm excited just to kind of like, that's the thing, man. Even like, I love Ring of Honor and I love being there, but even that journey to Ring of Honor and the indies was like, you know, one of my favorite parts, is because it's like you do something different all the time. You know what I mean? And like me, myself and Dutch and Bateman would like to keep this kind of going. And I kind of would like to see the Righteous kind of grow. You know, maybe there's some other people that kind of fit the bill with us, you know what I mean, on the indies, and we can kind of make it kind of like grow as a bigger thing, you know. Whatever that is, I really don't have like a, you know, everything's, like I said, everything's happening so quickly that I really have no, like, like exact destination of where I kind of want this vision to lead to. But like, you know, I've kind of been playing around with some stuff, but I'd like to continue that with those guys and kind of keep it growing. Maybe we can bring it to the indies and stuff like that. I mean, there's a list of people that I would love to kind of, you know, get in. I've always been a big Mance Warner fan. I think he's great. And I think that would be really cool. You know, I'd like to kind of step in there with him. But, you know, there's just so many. There's so many guys. I'd like to wrestle a lot of these guys, because everybody, there's so many guys that are just so good out there. You know, it's hard
It's so funny. You could tell that, like, we're all like, oh, we want to see that when all three of us simultaneously went like this.
Yeah. Right. It's tough. Like I said, it's tough to pick one, but he was always one that I always seen surface in for the longest time. And I know he, like, I love his, like, you know, Twitter too, when he posts like a lot of the horror movie stuff. It seems like we have the same kind of interest in that kind of stuff, but he's really good. I think I'm a big fan.
And you mentioned horror movies. Nails in New York on YouTube wants to know, will you be doing any more movies with a little maybe freer schedule?
I have talked to a few people for a few different projects. Nothing's cemented. And right now it's kind of a tough time to kind of like totally, because that's, I mean, it's tough because that's something you have to kind of like focus 100% on, just like wrestling. So it's like, to split the two is like, you know, it's hard to do that. So like, especially right now with everything kind of happening and kind of like adjusting, so I'm not really in, like, you know, talking about anything like crazy, but like there's like just small talk about ideas, you know, of stuff that I could possibly do in the future for sure.
Is it all horror movies, or is Vincent open to rom-coms?
I'm open to whatever fits the bill, man. I'm open to do. I think that would be cool. It'd be different. It'd show a little different range of myself. But I'd be open to do whatever, man.
Oh, yeah, like shit. You meet a lady, she's got a stinky ass crack, and then you help her fix her stinky
right.
And then you fall in love with her. Full circle, baby.
Yeah. I'm like Vincent a soap. I'm a soap salesman.
Sign me up.
Holy shit. I can see Vincent right now. He'll be the next big star on the Hallmark Channel. He'll be doing all those movies.
Right.
Not if he has to shave, right? You're not shaving that beard, right?
I can't shave this. No.
Can't shave.
What kind of question is that?
I can't. It's funny because I remember, like, you know, when all this stuff first happened, I went into like a freak out moment and I almost cut my hair. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't now. But yeah, it was definitely a thought that crossed my mind just because I was like going insane. But yeah, I'm not going to cut it.
Yeah, we're glad you didn't cut your hair either. No. Jeez. How long? What, that's taken you quite a bit of time to grow that.
Yeah, it's been probably going on 5 years now. Yep.
God damn.
Yeah, 5 years.
Is it heavy?
It's can be annoying. It's a lot to maintain, and I live in Florida now, so it gets very hot. But yeah, it is what it is. It's a nightmare. Like, it can be.
Yeah, it looked like a lot when everyone came down for the main event. You could see you because you had the big.
Yeah, the big hair.
Big hair. That moment for you, was that a decision made throughout the locker room? Like, we're gonna go down there for as a group?
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of that, like, one last hurrah. You know what I mean? And just kind of like, you know, we've been a part of this whole thing the whole time, and just kind of see, you know, Gresham, who's worked really hard, like, get his moment. You know, so it was pretty cool. It was cool, man. I really liked it. It was cool to just have everybody there, a part of that, you know, one last moment there. And it was cool that, you know, and I'm happy for Gresham, you know what I mean? Proud of Gresham. He's worked really hard over the years. Really great guy. And I wish him the best too with Terminus and all that stuff. So,
yeah, it was, and I think that you said it earlier, bittersweet. And for me, Ring of Honor is my favorite hour of TV, and the stories, the stuff you guys were doing with Lethal. And I overheard him at the bar saying that the story with you would eventually lead to him being part of the Righteous.
Yeah, and it's a bummer, man, because I really you know, I put some thought into that, and we did the you know, the purity, the white and stuff, and it was kind of you know, it was gonna be really fun. And there's actually a promo that we did that actually never saw the light of day, that's still out there. Maybe I could eventually get it and just put it up there for fun or something as a memory. But it was good, man. And that was the promo that I felt like, oh, this is gonna be fun. This has something to it that's just different. You know what I mean? It was just different, and I was looking forward to it. But, you know, who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe eventually down the road, you never know. Like I said, wrestling's crazy like that, you know? So.
Yeah, they were telling great stories with you. You had your title shot. Dude, your cage match, I don't think we've talked since you and Taven in the cage. Easily one of the best cage matches in the history of Ring of Honor. I'm sure it was such great storytelling and the history between you guys and what it all came down to. It was just beautiful.
It was one of those things, too, that, like, you know, we kind of kept that rolling through the pandemic and stuff, which was really hard to do. We tried to figure stuff out, you know, with being on lockdown and stuff, to kind of keep it going. Obviously, we had some, you know, low times during the angle and stuff because of that. But, I mean, once the cage match kind of happened, first of all, it was just awesome to be involved in a steel cage match in the main event at a Ring of Honor show. You know what I mean? So, like, young me was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then it was just cool because after, you know, once the cage match happened, I just felt like, you know, people were invested in that story. Once it got to that final match, it had a feeling to me like I was walking into something, like, you know, a big payoff to something. And once the bell kind of rang, when that was over, it felt like, wow, that was it. You kind of, like, when you're in the midst of doing it and building that story, you kind of, like, forget, you know, you forget it. But once you kind of see it at the very end, you look at everything that has gone on and, like, how it kind of lined up. It's just like, wow, that was pretty cool. You know what I mean? And once that kind of ended, I was like, wow, there it is. All, you know, the end. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, you know, it kind of had like a movie feeling where it had the ups, the downs, the boom, boom, boom. And then you go to the cage and, like, here's the big, you know, the last go. So it was cool. Yeah. But thank you, man. Yeah, that was one of my favorite matches, obviously.
You got to unmute yourself.
Kev, you got to unmute yourself.
That's funny because I literally asked if you could hear me. I was like, "Can you hear me?" Because I switched.
Oh, no, I saw your hand go up, and then I didn't hear anything after.
Yeah. I had to switch the earbuds because the other ones were crap. So Tony Khan, you know, there were a lot of shout outs of Ring of Honor from people from the past and people that are specifically in AEW. And now, you know, Josh Woods is going to be appearing on Dark, I think, either tonight or tomorrow. What does that mean to know that there's at least someone out there that is willing to give these Ring of Honor talents another opportunity at a stage like you've had in Ring of Honor?
I think it's great. I think it's great, man. And it's, you know, it's awesome how, you know, like we talked about, like the Lethal and Gresham thing happened. It's cool that they, like, you know, had helped make that happen, you know what I mean, and let that happen and just kind of got a little bit involved in helping, which was really cool, obviously, which, you know, it was an exciting show. And it's cool to see, you know, guys like Josh Woods, for example, who I think Josh Woods is, you know, a very talented dude. And I don't think he sometimes realizes how talented he is, but he's a very talented dude. And I was happy to see that he was going to do that. And, you know, I hope more people, you know, but I just think it's cool. I think it's cool that they are very, like, inviting and, you know, and open the door and give people opportunities that just want an opportunity, that have been working hard and just trying to get themselves out there. I think it's really cool. Yeah, man. It's given so many people opportunities, you know, on the independents and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
What was the vibe like backstage at the show at Final Battle?
It wasn't, I think everybody was kind of jonesed up to go out there and just, like, everybody wanted to do, like, their best, you know what I mean? They wanted to make this show, like, a memorable thing, you know, on top of it being the last Final Battle of the End of an Era. We wanted to make sure it felt like that, you know what I mean? So I think everybody was so, like, you know, tunnel vision focused on, you know, making this, you know, one of the best shows in Ring of Honor history. So, but it was like I said, everybody was kind of like, everybody was running around and trying to, like, you know, make sure we all, like, see each other, you know, enough before, because who knows what's going to happen in the future. So, you know, but at the same time, we were trying to, like, a lot of people were just focused on, like, let's make this the best, you know, show, one of the best shows in the history of Ring of Honor.
And I think I sent this in a text to Matt and Tony that I thought it was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen ever.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Were people feeling that way?
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody, you know, everybody was walking back with a smile on their face. You know what I mean? And everybody, like, at the end of the night, it just felt like, all right, great. You know what I mean? I felt like we went out with a bang, like we wanted to. You know what I mean? So definitely. And, like, you know, my wife, you know, watched the show from beginning to end. And, like, even she said when I got home that the whole show was, like, just fantastic. So I think it lived up to, like, what everybody wanted it to be, you know, so, which is cool.
Yeah, and I think you have to give Ring of Honor credit for, I think they got every single person involved in some way, shape, or from, you know, Danhausen sitting in on commentary with his broken leg, and Quinn, and everyone had a part, and I thought it was beautifully done, and that just speaks volumes to Ring of Honor and Sinclair. I mean, it's no secret they paid everyone through the pandemic when you guys weren't working, and
right.
You know, I can't confirm it, but the rumors are they're paying everyone till the end of March, and they're letting you work independently. So I think they've done an amazing job, and I really hope this is just a see you later and not a goodbye for Ring of Honor, because man, Ring of Honor's fucking good. It's fucking good. And again, like I said, we talked in DMs. It's bittersweet. It was bittersweet being there Saturday night because you don't know, man. I want to go back to Baltimore. I want to see more Ring of Honor.
Yeah, man. And, like, you know, again, like, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but, you know, I hope the same. I'm with you on that. I hope it does, you know, come back in whatever version that they want. And it's just, you know, it does something, you know, for them, and, you know, turns things around however they want.
Yeah. And it seems like on the show itself, there was a lot of mixed messages sent. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because no one really knows. Like, so it was like, you know, the end of this era, this chapter of Ring of Honor. But if we've known anything about Ring of Honor in the past, it's that they know how to stay relevant and know how to keep around. So,
right.
So one way or the other, they're going to maybe have one more show, or maybe they'll be back and better than ever.
Right.
Is Is that something that, that you guys have focused on in the back, that you know that Ring of Honor is kind of like this, like, punch us, we'll get up, punch us, we'll get up type company?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, it's been confirmed, you know, through elsewhere that April they're planning on coming back. Again, I don't know what that is, but, for sure, I think, like, you know, if they say that, then they will, you know, and it's a matter of just finding, just waiting to see what that is, you know, and I'm not sure what that is, but, whatever it is, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I myself am looking forward to it just as much as you guys are, to see kind of what that is. You know, it's exciting, you know, to see kind of what that's going to be.
When I want to go behind the curtain, when Ring of Honor does something like they do Saturday night and they bring in Braun and FTR and Deonna Purrazzo, do you guys know this? Are they in the back, or is that kind of like, to keep them out behind the center in a car and nobody knows what the hell's going on?
They were all at Jimmy's, Matt.
The thing is like, I think I was so focused on like what I had to do and just kind of like, you know, that I didn't even like, you know what I mean? I didn't know anything, because I went there and just got to it, got, you know, whatever, did what I had to do and stuff. And, you know, didn't really know until after, you know, so I was kind of like, focused. I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but as far as I go, I didn't know anything. It was pretty cool though, you know. I mean, it was
awesome.
A lot of crazy surprises. It was cool.
Unbelievable time. So we got ARW and Kokofu. I'm going to put that across the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Now, December 19th. I couldn't find if they announced a match for you. I know Sin Bodhi's on the card. I think Moose is there. Do you have a match yet?
It's me versus Ryzen.
Okay, yeah,
Me versus Ryzen in a singles match. Never been in the ring with him before. No of him. I know he's done like a bunch of like AEW Dark. I've seen him on that, and I know he's, you know, been on the independents for a while. And so it's me and him for the first time ever over there. And I'm actually excited. I've never been to these shows before, but I hear a lot of good things. So I'm really looking forward to it. There's a couple shows I'm doing for ARW, and I'm excited for it, man. I'm looking forward to it big time. Yeah, there's a lot of guys.
Do you like to travel? Do you like to go? Would you go like anywhere that wants to have you on their show?
Yeah, I like to travel, man. It can get like, so like I've been traveling ever, you know, since like, you know, the end of October now, like every weekend been kind of traveling, and it's fun, man. I like it. Like, it's always exciting, especially like places you've never been before and people you've never worked with before. It's just it's a little shift change, you know, and it's a kind of exciting shift change, you know. And so I'm not getting like, so now I have to work real hard, you know, and I plan on it, you know what I mean? I plan on trying to, you know, keep myself going, you know.
Two names that I think would be a lot of fun to have you work against or work with is Malakai Black.
Yeah, would love to.
And Killer Cross.
Okay, so Killer Cross is, I've worked with him in a tag match in Canada at one point when I did that CWE tour in Canada there. We did a tag match in like a church, which is odd, against each other. I would like to kind of have a singles match showcased with Killer Cross. Killer Cross, now that we go back to your question, Killer Cross is also one that I would like to do. I would like to do even like a little program with Killer Cross, because I feel like, you know, so similar but different, you know what I mean, in ways, him and I. And I think like just the things we could create going even before the match happened could be pretty cool, you know. So definitely I'm glad you brought that up. That's like I said, there's so many guys. He was one that's always in the back pocket that I think about. That there's tons of guys out there that I want to wrestle for sure. But Killer Cross is definitely one, man. I think like that would be cool. And I think we could, if we just find a place to do it, I think we could create a lot of, you know, cool stuff that would lead to that match, you know, even if there's a couple things before the big match happen. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, because with the advent of all these very talented people that could do video production and do all these cool things, I feel like there's no limit to something that you and Malachi Black or you and Killer Cross could do. It's just insane.
Right. And it would be so different. It'd be different for me, because I never, worked with someone who is very different, but also in that same realm, if that makes sense, at the same time, so that it would be awesome. Yeah, I would love that. You can get so creative with like so many different things there.
We're on the line with Vincent at Horaking VM on Twitter, right? EOVS Vincent on Instagram. Give him a follow. Yeah, your Instagram handle screws me up.
Well, they wouldn't let they. Someone took it already and took the U, so I had to make the U a V, which it works, but it also made me angry. So whoever's got that, change it.
Shit! Who do we have? We had someone a couple weeks ago, and a dog had their Instagram handle.
Who was it?
No help here.
I've even tried to do Vincent on Twitter. Vincent is, of course, taken by somebody who hasn't used Twitter in like 20 years. It's just sitting there rotting. So like, I can't even use Vincent. Same thing on Instagram. You go to the Instagram. Who's Vincent? Oh, this person's got it, and they haven't used it since 2008. I remember I sent them a message like, "Hey, anyway, get that?" And they were like, "No." And I was like, "Okay."
You're the character, the righteous. Is that all you? Is that all your ideas, or is someone me. That was all
every,
you?
Cause it every was... everything from when I first did that Horror King stuff with the masks and all that evolution of that time. That was all the way till now. That's all me. All me. I like to bounce ideas off of certain people who understand what the vision is and what my ideas are. For example, Dalton Castle was somebody that I could bounce ideas off of, because he understood what I was trying to do and what I was doing. Certain people kind of understand it, Dalton's a very creative guy, so he understands that kind of thing. And and then people who like similar stuff, like Dutch is a very, Dutch and Bateman are very easy to bounce ideas off of, because we all like similar stuff. We're all we have very, common interests, the three of us. So it made it, once Dutch came on, it made it, I just felt like he at the time was that last piece of the puzzle that I was looking for somebody in that group that that works, and he's fantastic in the ring, and he's just he's got a great personality, on camera and stuff. So he was the last piece of the puzzle. So I was actually, really excited that they made that happen, because for a long time, Dutch was my pick. No, Dutch was my pick long before Chuckles. And then that happened, and then afterwards I was like, all right, Dutch now. And then it was, and then Dutch debuted on the anniversary pay-per-view with the balcony thing there. Yeah.
Yes.
And So it's always always me with the base idea, but I always like bouncing ideas off of people. If someone has a good idea, man, hey. It's a good idea that I didn't think of, that happens, but there's a plenty of creative people out there to bounce ideas off of that might think of something for you that actually works really good for you, you just weed out the stuff that doesn't.
Yeah. You bring up the anniversary match. It's funny. That's the cinematic match. How was that for you to put together with Taven and Dutch and everyone? Man, you are just the shit that you did in Ring of Honor. You've done so much amazing stuff that it's just, it's hard to pinpoint one exact moment, but man, the steel cage match was awesome. The cinematic match was great. How was that for you guys to put together?
It was fun. It was fun, man. It was kind of cool because that's where our career started, in that building. And I'd done so many shows in that building. I had so independent, my breakout matches in that area, in that building. And training upstairs with Spike and stuff. So it's like, it was so cool just to do it in that building again, you know, because it's been so long since I've even been there. But, you know, I kind of had we kind of had this idea of like, you know, we wanted to do it there, but we also didn't want to, we wanted to feel more of like a fight. We wanted to give it more of a fight feel than like an actual like cinematic feel to it, which I think like it was kind of like it had some cinematic vibe to it, but it wasn't completely cinematic, if you know what I mean by that. Like it was kind of like a you're watching like a like an action fight movie, you know, that's happening in this like old gritty warehouse, you know. And I just think we thought of it because the aesthetic, like I felt like, oh well, it's not like we can't do it like in a haunted house or something, but like I felt like the building, its grittiness fit my aesthetic, like, and what, you know. So I think that it just worked for where the story was and stuff, so it was kind of cool. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, you know. Falling off that balcony with no crowd though, that hurt.
I bet it did,
but it was cool, man.
Yeah, it played well on TV too. I enjoyed it very much. As the holidays approach, what's Vincent? What's on Vincent's Christmas list?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't even been thinking. You know, right now it's you know, because I have a 7-year-old daughter, so it's all about her Christmas list. You know, now, but you know, nothing crazy. I'm going back to Rhode Island to you know, visit the family and stay with them for a week and stuff. So, you know, that'll be a good time just to kind of go back and just see everybody. But nothing really that pops, you know, into my head that I really want. I don't know.
Yeah. Is Christmas different in Florida when it's like 80 degrees out on Christmas Day?
You know, it's funny. You know, I'm here and it's like, you know, right now it's like 75, but the neighborhood, like people decorate wild here for holidays. Like, you know, there's Christmas stuff. I mean, you can drive around our neighborhood and it looks like a Christmas light show all the way through.
I mean, right? when you can decorate in tank tops and shorts, I'm sure. It's
right. But it's pretty cool, you know, seeing everybody how they get into it over here. But it's actually not. It's more Christmas, you know what I mean? Like the temperature's, you know, warmer, but it's like as far as like decoration goes and all that stuff, like it's more Christmas here than it is when I go to Rhode Island. So it's crazy, but it's cool.
Do you find yourself around the holidays? Like, I remember like when we were kids, we would ask for stuff that we wanted. Now it's like, get me stuff I need. Get me socks. Get me like a screwdriver or something like that.
You know, And it's funny because like I'll probably go to my mother's place, right? And because I love horror movies, she knows, she's the one who's got me into it when I was a kid. But she'll buy me a T-shirt that has like a regular wolf howling at a moon on a mountain, and it's just say, "You like it?" And I'll say, "I don't know." She's like, "What? It's like American Werewolf in London." Like, <it's, laughs> you know what I mean? You know, it's like a wilderness wolf like howling at the moon on a mountain. But it's like horror. You like werewolves, right? And I'm just like, yeah, this is
Target horror. I don't like.
Yeah. It's not even horror. You know, it's just funny. Yeah,
This is Nat Geo Wild.
Yeah. It says Harley Davidson on the bottom of the mountain. What are we talking about? But it's funny though. You know what I mean? She'll get me and my brother. Me and my brother always joke because she'll like. For a while, she got me and my brother like the Axe spray, but like a package that has like this wash and everything. And we both still have one from when we were younger in the box still. We both still have one. And we always bring it up and joke about it.
I don't hate Axe.
No, but it's just funny. You know what I mean? Like my mom's still thinking like, oh, yeah, you'll use this, right? It's funny.
I'm just trying to think, how long has Axe been around?
Long time. Long time, man.
Wow. Long enough.
Yeah, Axe spray was the thing. Axe spray was like the thing when I was younger in like locker rooms and stuff. Guys would just like spray Axe on the bags.
Delightful. Absolutely delightful. Well, Vincent, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know you're a busy man. We don't want to take up your whole night here. We wish you the best of luck going forward. We hope to see you all over the place. Can't wait for you to come back to New Jersey.
Absolutely. Because,
yeah. We definitely have to get out there and see you. And you and Crowbar, that's, I mean, sign me up.
It's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. Yep.
Just so. The promos alone. He does his shit with the wine. You do your weird stuff. I dig. Yeah. I dig, man.
Cool, man. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. And I'm sorry that I had to bail on the last one. We had to set this one up. I apologize. But we made it. We made it happen. Here we are. And
it all worked out.
Yeah. And thanks for coming to the show the other night. Glad you guys were there. And happy holidays to you fellas. And, you know, enjoy.
Vincent, a pleasure as always. Happy holidays. Safe one to you and your family. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Bye, Vincent. Happy holidays, Vincent.
My man, Vincent, the Horror King.
I dig.
You dig?
Oh, yeah. I'm big digger. That's right.
That was big digger.
Oh, yeah. I dig.
Digging big.
I dig it the most.
Weird time. You know, that's the fun thing with the StreamYard. You don't know when anyone's going to pop up. So, you know, he caught the tail end of the stinky butthole, butt crack guy.
That's fine. A lot of people caught the end of the stinky butthole. From what I was reading, that was your coup de grace for the evening. You were the one that caught it first.
Oh, I felt like I was the only one that caught it.
Caught what?
The stinky butthole guy.
Ugh. So you actually saw the butthole?
I saw the butt crack.
Oh, the crack.
McCracken. Crack is in my face.
Ugh. In your face?
In your face.
Not in a fun way either. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
in your face!
But
oh, heard that in a while. Tony, can you give me in your face?
In your face. In your face. In your face.
In your face.
Oh, such simpler times.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But let's talk about it. So Ring of Honor, final battle. I know Kevin watched it. Tony, I know you watched a little. How much of it did you get?
I didn't see any of the pre-show, and I got through Roxy versus Willow. So the top of the card.
No, it's only like down to five matches.
Yeah, six matches.
Oh, okay. I thought he said he only saw Roxy and.
No. I watched the show proper through Roxy and Willow, and I saw Deonna Pazuzu come out, and then Adam Cole did his statement, baby, and that's about as far as I got. I'm about 2 hours in.
Okay. So, do you know any spoilers? Do you know about?
I know the results. I know that Kevin lost another game to me. So
you know the surprises and all that stuff.
I saw the Briscoes get surprised and all that good stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure. And yes, Kevin, he brings it up. I hate to bring it up to you. I think I'm gonna stop saying I am an expert at things. Because I sucked at pay-per-view picks again.
Matt officially entered 100 loss territory.
Did Tony go perfect?
No.
What do you mean? Wait. You're like, no. Like I was 9-1, wasn't I?
You were 9-1. You were 9-1.
The only one that I ate, we all ate. We all took Dalton Castle.
We did. We all took Dalton Castle. Tony went 9-1. Kevin went 8-2. I went 6-4.
That's not terrible. You're in the position right now where you have to take chances. It's just unfortunate that none of your chances are paying off.
You know what's killing me? And I didn't have the balls to tell Vincent this. I wanted to pick the righteous so freaking hard. And I think I had them like typed out in my notes thing, and then I went with Shane Taylor Promotions.
Well, that was the difference between you and Tony's pick.
You know,
that's it, right?
And Kev, to side with Kevin, that is a difficult choice because Shane Taylor Promotions has been so dominant with the six-man belts.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we all had Shane Taylor to win his match.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like if there was a match that like was like do you need all of them to win? I mean, like, so I was like, and they've been doing a lot with the Righteous. The Righteous is Vincent's dealie now. And it's just like, I was like, oh, I really like the Righteous, and I should have gone with my gut. I didn't pick Shane Taylor Promotions, which I would have been happy with as well, but What are you gonna do?
And holy cow, dude, Rhett Titus. I was happy for him, dude. That surprised me, but in a great way.
I actually had that typed out, and then I went back and deleted it. Because here's the problem is, we don't know what the fucking future holds, right? So, like, Josh Woods being on AEW Dark tonight, I was like, well, there's no way they keep the title on him, right?
Unless he's bringing the belt.
Yeah, well, he didn't. He lost to Sean Spears.
Oh, so then no.
Oh, really?
So I was like, they were hard to pick, man. Like, I thought the Hex and the Chelsea Green were going to beat the Allure. No,
dude, the Allure has been around from fucking old Donut Belly. Come on.
Yeah, so here's what the hardest thing about this show was to pick. Are they going to give us feel-good moments every match? Or are they going to give us, like the actual what should happen for good storytelling for whatever future there is? You had no clue. You have no idea.
None.
So there's some ones that were, I think, we all thought were obvious. Jonathan Gresham.
Right.
I think we all saw as an obvious one. I believe I think we all thought Shane Taylor. Even though I did some research, a lot of people were picking Kenny King just because of the longevity that he's had in Ring of Honor.
I mean, the easy ones to me, it was Gresham. Gresham had to win that match.
Yeah.
There's no way Roxy was going to lose the belt either.
Yeah, that's another easy one.
Briscoes. The one that really threw me off, though, I didn't know if it was going to be Dragon Lee or Rey Horus, because Horus could have used a win. He never beat Dragon Lee. Like, never, ever, ever.
Well, that's what happens when you're Horus Hogan.
But it was like when they were talking about the stats at the beginning of the match, like 8-0. I'm like, I was kind of like,
I actually switched from Horus Hogan to Dragon Lee as well, actually.
Yeah. I mean, this week it paid off. Last week I made a couple switches and it was kind of like, and it didn't pan out. So,
like I said, like, we've never seen a show. Like, when was the last time we've seen a show like this where, like, it's possible that it's the last one they ever do?
Well, if it is, I went out with a bang, 9-1. I can't complain.
All right, Tony. That wasn't the point of the question. Yeah, but...
Don't fucking Barry Horowitz yourself.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Yeah, point to the squares.
So what do we got? 4 pay-per-views left?
6. A dozen.
We got Hard to Kill.
Oh, all right, so 5. Matt, is Hard to Kill
is it a
different
pay-per-view
than what Turning Point was?
Yes, Hard to Kill is a pay-per-view.
Okay.
So that's like a more than like a, it's not like just $10. It's like you got to shell out the big money.
Yes. That's like,
okay. And it's not pre-recorded.
Turning Point was live.
No, but usually when Impact does the $10 pay-per-views, they're pre-recorded.
No, Turning Point was live.
Right.
No,
Turning Point was live. But before Turning Point, those have been taped.
Yeah, but Turning Point wasn't a $10 pay-per-view, was it?
Yes, it was. On Fight, it was. It was like $14 maybe.
Well, but I mean, but Impact typically when it does the $10, those are the ones that are in the can already, no?
Yes.
Typically.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't care. I was just literally curious. I didn't know.
So we got 6 pay-per-views. No, 5.
No, I totally made up that number.
Look,
by the way,
we have to decide what we're doing with this Wrestle Kingdom Night 3, this Noah versus New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, is that a real pay-per-view? Or is that like a...
My understanding is it's going to be shown on the Noah streaming service, but won't be available for the New Japan World till a week later.
So that's a Noah for me.
Yeah, this sounds like what NWA was doing with the one before Hard Times 2. Remember, we didn't know if it was a pay-per-view or not?
So I say we just pick Wrestle Kingdoms Night 1 and 2 before this inter-promotional battle for Night 3.
Night 2.
All right, yeah. Okay, so yeah, all right. So, but there's going to be no implication. Do you think the stories will carry over to the Night 3?
No.
No? Okay, then yeah.
No. So we have Wrestle Kingdoms Night 1 and 2, Hard to Kill, the New Day pay-per-view, New Day.
Day 1.
I think that's it, right? 4 pay-per-views?
What's Tony's lead on me right now?
Tony has 7 games on you.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Hey, man, never say never.
No, it's over because I'm going to have to go.
Now you got to start making some crazy picks.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to have to do. But I always preach that that's not my style. I just pick what I believe is going to happen. So we'll see.
We'll have to wait and find out, I guess.
Yeah. I guess beggars can't be choosers.
But Ring of Honor, final battle, end of an era. We don't have to go through every match in deep detail. Righteous kicked off the show, the pre-show against SOS. and they captured the six-man titles. I thought it was a fine match. I don't know if there's anything you took from the match, Kevin, that you want to talk about.
Again, something else I didn't want to say to Vincent. I didn't actually see all of this.
All right. They followed that up with the Hex and Chelsea Green against the Allure and Miranda Alizé.
Chelsea doing the Hot Mess gimmick yet?
She came out to the Hot Mess song entrance, but she's not a Hot Mess.
No, she's still Chelsea Green because I think she wants to keep her. That's gonna happen, but because she's on so many different platforms right now, like you can't like do one here and then this there. I feel like that's one of the weird things about the Forbidden Door is that like you want to maintain your consistency amongst all three. So in Impact, she's still Chelsea Green. So you don't want to do the Hot Mess yet. And then once you do that, you can just blow the roof off every place you go.
Well, she's already the Hot Mess in NWA.
Yeah, that's true.
Love the Hot Mess gimmick. Love it.
I thought this was fine. There was somebody like five rows in front of me that kept yelling, fuck Matt Cardona.
At Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea, I didn't
Chelsea Green is his fiance.
I was there. It was me, Matt. I was doing that.
Did you beat him up for me?
Yelling at him.
Why not?
Gee, why not? Why? I don't give a shit.
Matt, he's cursing the name of the Deathmatch King.
Yeah, in your dreams, he's the Deathmatch King.
Future NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere.
Secondly, it was annoying me, so I told him to shut up because he's probably a fucking major Mark Patreon person.
And that you did tell him to shut up. All right, you did something.
Yeah.
All right, good for you.
I wasn't going to beat him up.
All right. Beat him up was extreme, but I like that you stood it. You stood up for what was right.
Matt had his deodorant on. He was feeling confident.
He was being annoying. It was annoying.
So wait, how like was it like every 2 seconds?
Pretty much every time Chelsea Green got in the ring.
Someone yelled, fuck Matt Cardona.
Oh, he was screaming it.
When did Motzbach stop yelling?
No, he was in the front row, bro. Motzbach didn't do a lot. Then we had a 10-man wild card tag match. It was Flip, PJ Black, the Beer City Bruisers, and
I actually did watch this match.
Cheeseburger? No.
Yeah, in LSG, right?
No, who was on? One team was the PJ Black, Flip, the Beer City Bruisers. They wrestled the team of LSG. Will Ferraro was with.
That was cool.
And then they wrestled LSG, Cheeseburger, Sledge, Max the Impaler, and.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Demonic Flamita.
And Demonic Flamita.
What about that Sledge moonsault?
Oh.
Woo! He literally almost landed like vertical.
Oh, there was a lot. So we were. In they only had the floor and the bottom bowl open, so the whole top bowl was closed off. We were in the first bowl in the last row, so that we could stand up against the wall. There's nobody behind us, so we couldn't see to the floor like when he hit that moonsault. But it did not look good. And I actually went back and watched the pay per view today, and it was horrifying to watch it.
Yeah, again. And. I think I'm not sure if it was this match or if it was I might be confusing it with the Shane Taylor Kenny King match. I felt like someone like literally just put themselves on top of him and like was like checking on him to make sure he was okay. I think it was the Shane Taylor Kenny King match after that ladder spot, but
it may have been.
But oh man.
Good stuff. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We didn't pick that because we didn't know who's gonna be in it.
Yeah, no
Dragon Lee Ray Horace was a lot of fun. They were like man, it was like a garage sale at the merch table. They just had boxes of everything, and they were just T-shirts, $3, $5, DVD, $2. They were literally just trying to get rid of everything.
Did you come home with a box of goodies?
I did not.
What? I mean,
you should have texted me.
He's got to travel.
So what? In his car?
With three other people?
Two.
Oh, two.
I mean... I'll give you my honor club info and you could just go on the website and save the 15% that I get.
Do you think they got all this shit like cut rate?
Oh, absolutely.
See, that's the thing. Like this would have been, you know, some cool collector's items.
But yeah. part of that is sad.
It is sad. But look, yeah. it's like when rumors were going around about the last days of ECW, where like you hear stories from those last shows. It's like, listen, we're not coming back. The company's probably going to be closed. Get your merch now if you want it. You know.
So here's the thing. I was dead fast in saying that ROH is done, but they did stuff last night to make me think like, all right, they're progressing new stories, so maybe they're not quite done yet. Like, does that make sense to you guys? Like,
Kevin, I don't think you don't check the you don't check the Discord. So my storytelling, which didn't have, I went 1-for-2 with Final Battle because I called FTR coming out.
All right.
Against the Briscoes. If there was going to be a restart, my story was Jonathan Gresham wins. He held the title up. He is the best in the world. And then Bryan Danielson comes out and challenges him to a match in April when they restart. And just between Terminus and AEW and the internet, you could tell a story with those two guys that would probably fucking sell out a building.
A big building, not just the UMBC. Like the UMBC is probably
They'll be probably down in April is when, you know, WrestleMania is, so they'll be in Dallas probably.
Oh yeah, I think they have a venue booked, don't they?
I haven't heard otherwise. And then you backload it with FTR against the fucking Briscoes.
Oh mama!
Right, but then now like that probably isn't going to happen because there's GCW crossover and there's AEW crossover. For the Briscoes and FTR.
All right, so it's April 7th. Oh, no, that's 2018. Never mind. Why is that? Why did that come up first? Anyway, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So, I watched back the pay-per-view today. There's a lot of, you know, when Deonna Purrazzo comes out after the Roxy match and Ian Riccoboni's like, why are we doing this now? Why couldn't we get this before?
Yeah, and what match was it where Riccoboni's like, what are they going to do, fire me?
Dude, they were dropping stuff like that all night.
No, there was one where it was pretty blatant, where he just yelled it. He just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, because they did the Ric Flair thing. I'm already fired. Like, what are you going to do, fire me? I'm already fired. Caprice and Ian did that. Who was that other guy, by the way?
Which one?
Yeah, there was like another guy that was doing commentary with him for like a few matches.
Brian Zane? Brian Zane sat in for a match. Carey sat in for like half the tag title match. Then he stumbled down the aisle.
He left in the middle of the match. He's like, I'm going back down to ringside because this is too boring for me.
Was there somebody that was there for the Josh Woods match?
I think that was it Brian Zane?
No, somebody was dressed.
The white guy with the glasses?
Somebody was dressed up. Somebody that had wrestled one of them. Something. I forget. Forget it. It was somebody else. Brian Zane, I know it definitely was not him.
He's from something, right?
Wrestling with Regret. He's got his
own YouTube show. Yes, that's him.
Very good, by the way. Cheap plug for him.
Yeah. No, he was all right. It seemed like Ian and Caprice had like nothing to do with him. Like they weren't like acknowledging any of his contributions, which I noticed was kind of weird. I noticed a lot of weird stuff on this show, despite how
Dak Draper joined for the TV title match.
There you go. That was it.
Brian Zane joined for the pure title match. Maria Kanellis was in on the pre-show match, as was Danhausen.
I love Danhausen.
Quinn McKay was in on the women's championship match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was everyone. And Kerry Silken, but he slithered away.
He was partying a little bit, maybe.
Oh, bro, there's a shot after he gets up, right? He's like, I'm going down to get a better look or whatever. And then they pan out of what's going on in the ring. And he's like fucking doing this down the aisleway. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Dude, why did he need to be like in like the front of the aisle when everyone was coming down to hug every single person?
That's where he sits, man.
I know, but it was so weird, and people embraced him, and they appreciate what Carrie has done, and it's just so funny. Like he goes up and just hugs everyone.
Josh Woods had a great. I like the way he beat Brian Johnson with the chokehold on the ropes. I thought that was good. Shane Taylor Kenny King was fucking unbelievable.
That was my favorite match of the show.
The four-way for the TV title was great. Rhett got his moment, so I thought that was a lot of fun. I really like Roxy and Willow. I was kind of bummed that people were fucking booing Roxy.
That was weird.
Willow was popular, dude. Willow was over with the crowd.
But this match to me, like, was, and I'm not, listen, I don't want to nitpick on anything because like I said, it's one of my favorite shows ever. But this match, like, seemed like it was like just two people that didn't know how to,
mesh well. I think
they didn't mesh well, and everything seemed super over rehearsed. Like,
yeah, like some of the stuff came off smooth, like you could get like where Willow's blocking like arm drags and stuff like that, and Roxy really had to work for it. But then there were other moments where it was kind of like, yeah.
And sometimes you have to do that for safety. I get that.
I tell you what though, when fucking Roxy was laying them fucking Ronnie Garvin chops in, holy shit, dude, she's a tough son of a bitch. She really is. They both are. Oh, yeah. For sure. But to see Roxy, I mean, like, Roxy's like of that smaller build, you know, she's like 5 foot nothing. And she's just like fucking fucking smacking her. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. And then when Willow finally got that chop back, that receipt, that was some good shit.
The women's match, the 8-man tag was fine. The shit. I don't get any of the EC3 stuff.
I never got EC3, dude. I'm sorry. I just never got it.
I thought it was cool with Braun showing up. But the whole promo, like, this is a lie. This is corporate wrestling, three-letter promotions. I'm going to rebuild the wrestling industry block by block. And he calls out Dak Draper and Brian Johnson, and Eli Isom's in the ring, and these two guys show up. And then they calls out Braun. They beat everybody up. I know he does the control your narrative stuff. Didn't he do a match with Cardona on like iPay-Per-View or something?
Yeah, and Braun.
Braun Strowman. You know what though? The match he had with Braun, didn't they donate all the money to charity for something?
Maybe. I don't know. But he did two control the narrative shows. One, the first one was with Cardona. The second one was with Braun Strowman or Adam Schnur or whatever.
Yeah, I think they donated like their earnings to some.
So who was the other guy? The one guy was Wesley Blake. He was part of the Forgotten Sons, and he was also the former tag team partner of Buddy Murphy in NXT. But I didn't recognize the other guy.
Yeah, I didn't recognize the other guy.
Maybe if someone in the chat can see who that is, I'd love to. I'll post it up in here if you can. He just didn't look familiar. I don't know if he's a former NXT guy, or maybe he's just an EC3 guy from his home promotion. But
wait, on his team or somebody that came to the ring with them?
He was like, guys, come in, and they came in and started beating up Isom and Draper. And when they said release the Titan, these guys were with him. One of them was Wesley Blake, and there's another guy that I did not recognize. So I don't know who that is.
Yeah, the report on the Observer has the same thing you said: Wesley Blake and another wrestler.
Look at that. I should write for the Observer.
And another wrestler.
I don't know. I mean, shit, none of us knew who he was either, right?
Yeah, we're exactly. Not. I mean, I guess we're professionals. We should know.
Yeah, sure. I recognized Wesley Blake immediately. And then, of course, Braun, obviously. Can't mistake that some bitch.
And that was cool. That was a cool moment. But again, like, I don't know where that, you know, where that goes. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, they gotta sell replays. So why not put a big name on there and do some shit?
Mm-hmm. I guess. Tony, if you go watch the tag title match, because I thought the Briscoes and OGK was fucking nuts.
Yeah, probably my second favorite match on the show.
Nuts. Two great teams right there. I mean, Briscoes are legendary, and the OGK, they're pretty awesome.
They had such a great chemistry, and some, you know what? I don't know if I've just been blind to it. Bro, when Matt Taven jumps over the top rope to the outside, it's fucking amazing.
Dude, it's like he's flying. It's like literally like he's flying. Like he has so much height and distance at the same time. And then to do what he did with the Doomsday device to the outside, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable shit.
It's like literally like he learned how to fly.
And he did the same thing on the fucking NWA. He fucking hits the skies too.
Yep.
Crazy shit. And then the Briscoes say, this is not the end of the Briscoes, just the end of the era here. And then they say, anyone that, you know, we'll defend our titles against anyone, we'll fight anyone. And Fucking out came FTR, bro. It was fucking loud in there. And yeah. I was fucking pumped. Fucking wait,
so,
fucking
so the
awesome.
crowd was super pumped for this?
Oh yeah. The lights went out. Excuse me.
No problem.
Obviously in the arena you could see, and they had to walk, they walked down the aisle so people saw who they were.
I was wondering if like people like kind of like were there any like assumptions of who it was, but I guess if they saw them.
You know, like from afar, you didn't, it just made sense. If you've been following them on Twitter, them and the Briscoes have been talking shit for the last like 2 months.
That's true.
And it just, you know, and after Tony Khan said that thing of Busted Open where he was going to help Ring of Honor and lend out talent, like, I was like, this makes sense.
You know what I thought that was just going to be? I literally thought that was just going to be Jay Lethal and the tribute videos. That was it. Like, I did not expect FTR. I know Deonna Purrazzo's not AEW, but I did not expect Deonna Purrazzo. So, dude, with the surprises and the matches and just everything going on, like they're continuing to further storylines. Like they're going to do something.
You hope so. I just, it's easier to say we don't know what we're going to do versus we're going to book what we're going to do and then have it all fall apart, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's true.
And then Lethal Gresham was fucking awesome. Just an awesome match. They told a great story. You know, we got the news Friday that Bandido had COVID. So we went back and forth in the text. We were just speculating who fills the role, you know?
Who?
I was wondering, do you think... all right, so the wrestlers, the entire locker room came out during the main event.
Right.
What did you think about that?
I thought it was cool. Because it was signifying the end of an era.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, but I thought a lot of the, and listen, there were a lot of people that we know that were shouted out, and it was great. But I felt like that, like doing it in the middle of like your match, like shouting out people that like no one really knows while people are wrestling in the ring, was a little weird to me.
Oh, the commentators?
Yeah, and again, I love Ian, and I love Capri, so I'm not throwing shade per se, but it was just like it felt like it was weird, and then like all the attention was on the all, like this cavalcade of, if they've done that after the match, like after the hand, like maybe after a handshake or something like that, it may have appeared better than watching them come out to the ring, because the attention was taken away from Gresham and Jay Lethal. I could be way off base on this. And I don't know how it was received live.
I mean, we couldn't hear a commentary live, so it just added to the element, the atmosphere, okay. The match, how big it felt and what was going on there.
Yeah, no, and again, I don't necessarily hate it. I just wish it was done maybe after the match. I don't know.
Yeah, but there was, you know, it. Ian's done. He's working New Japan strong now. Like this, you might never see this team again calling a Ring of Honor match. So this was their chance to say goodbye to everybody.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He will be going, he's going out to Seattle, on January 15th for New Japan Strong's New Beginning.
Is he taking anyone's job?
No, he said, I'll be starting with New Japan Wrestling on January 15th. I'll be heading to Seattle, Washington, and I've interpreted this as a tryout.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm calling the main card. I'm calling what will air on New Japan Strong.
Oh, someone's going to lock him up because he's too good.
Yeah, New Japan will.
Right.
For New Japan Strong, because then they can leave Kevin Kelly in Japan, or he can just focus on the New Japan stuff. Because I think I read somewhere that he will be, when he flies over there for Wrestle Kingdom, he's going to be there until the end of March for the New Japan Cup.
Kevin Kelly.
Yes, because things just keep getting worse and worse with the Omicron or whatever the fuck it's called now over there.
Yeah, but that, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So he can't, they're not going to fly him back and forth. They're going to fly him over there once, Kevin Kelly. And then you can just easily probably, you know, do commentary and edit it in the States quicker.
Yeah.
With him over there versus the time difference. But man, super, super cool event. You know, bittersweet leaving there. Kind of a bummer. And then we just went back to the hotel. We you know, went up to the room, freshened up, and then we just hit the bar downstairs. Because
how was that?
It was a lot of fun. There was a so a lot of wrestlers were staying in the hotel. But they also had the Ring of Honor, I guess, through an after party at a casino right there. So, cause I had texted LSG, like, what's like 2 minutes before they all fucking came out. I was like, we're staying at the DoubleTree. What's going on afterwards? And then he didn't see that until I guess they did that. And then, you know, a bunch of wrestlers stayed around the ring afterwards. That's where Milwaukee Tom got a bunch of pictures with guys. And then he was like, there's an after party at the casino till like 2:30, but then we'll be back at the hotel. So we hung out at the hotel, at the bar. It was pretty cool. Saw a lot of talent. I did not bother anybody because the last thing you want to do is bother people. But there was like ROH faithful that they all knew. And Kate knew a couple of these fans, but she didn't. I don't think she really talked to any of the wrestlers either. It was sharp. We got down to the bar. Kenny King was there, and some promoter came in and sat next to me. And he told the bartender, he's like, I hope you're ready. There's going to be like 40 wrestlers coming in. And the bartender was like, I don't know, mister. We close in like 5 minutes. And the guy promptly got up and went over to the lady at the front desk. And then the bar was open till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's awesome. It's the best.
But we saw a bunch. Kenny King was at the bar. But there were these two women there who had been to the show, and they were like talking, like, I hope this isn't the end. And I'm like, me and Ant are like, you really like this guy? This is the last thing this fucking guy wants to do is talk about this possibly being.
Wait, so like they were like next to him saying this stuff?
Yeah. Like when we walked in, he was the only person at the bar. We went up to our room and then we came back down. They were sitting there having a drink. Kenny was trying to have a drink and they started talking to him. And then the bartender was like, are you one of the rest? The bartender was the fucking worst bartender. He was
guy or girl?
It was a guy. He was slow as shit.
It's a hotel bar. What'd you expect?
Oh, come on, dude. He couldn't remember my fucking drink order. Jack and Coke. You get it with diet? I go, don't put diet in my Jack and Coke. I'll stab you in the neck.
Yeah, if you're going to put diet in there, you might as well put 3 shots of Jack in it.
Milwaukee Tom came over to the bar. We hung out with him all night. We saw Kenny King, Shane Taylor, O'Shea Edwards, Dickinson, Ashley Kay, Bennett, Vita Von Starr.
Ashley Kay or
so wait, you didn't introduce yourself to any past guests?
We were in the corner of the bar, and they were all like, because they were all meeting there to get to
the casino,
and they were all talking to each other. I wasn't gonna walk up and interrupt.
That's fair.
You have to wait for your moment. And then we were still there when Gresham and Jordan Grace came back, so we gave them a big round of applause. We saw Braun walk in real late. Bro, they turned the fucking lights off on us in the bar. We were at the bar at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Get out of here, you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't fucking going heavy. I'm not an idiot.
Damn it. All right, I'm coming next time.
We just hung out at the bar, and we talked, and it was, it was a lot of fun. We saw a lot of people, and we got in the elevator with Todd Sinclair at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he looked like he was fucking shot. So it was cool.
Love it.
It's a good time. Good time had by all.
Nice.
What?
No, nothing.
Say what now?
I don't know. Want to do a little break ski?
Yes, please.
All right.
Who we got? Cowboy Curtis coming up next.
Oh God.
The bounty hunter Brian Keith will be joining us at 8:30. Plus, we're going to talk some NWA, MLW. Fuck whatever, everything else, man. I got a lot of news. About particular individuals that you might find interesting. So we'll have a lot of fun.
I have a top five too, but we can save that till the next year, I guess.
Yeah, Kevin's got to look. There's not like I'm not. You know, there's very. I don't really care about WWE, so we don't have to go through any of that. Unless you guys want to talk about anything WWE is doing. You know, we got a couple people wrapped up in NXT. We can speculate about where that's going.
That's big news.
So we got some stuff to do. So let's take a commercial break. We'll talk a little bit of this and that before the bounty hunter joins us, and then we'll roll out some more shit after we're done with that feller.
Oh, yeah.
Back after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you could combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support the Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb. And every week, we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Oh, yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah, brother, mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books. We're talking about professional wrestling. And we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW. And if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey,
it's all right.
Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Yeah, but we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
All right, we are back from commercial break. Remember, all those fantastic shows can be found on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. And wherever you listen to podcasts, just throw Shining Wizards Network into the search engine, and you'll see all the fantastic shows. Not to be outdone by fantastic shows is our fantastic supporters over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. The $3 a month tier gets you a shout out on the show and access to our bonus episodes. $5 a month gets you access to the bonus episodes, a shout out on the show, and we'll promote your social media, website, whatever you have, as long as it's within reason. $10 a month, minimum 3 months, gets you a box of wizardry, stickers, t-shirts, koozies, DVDs, pins, whatever I can get my grubby little hands on. Anything above $10 a month is truly appreciated, and minimum 3 months you'll get a bigger, better box of wizardry with more swag and stuff. So at this time, we're going to thank those that support us. We'll start with Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. She's flanked by her forever king.
Yes, the whore.
Manny Carrazzo, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP, Sean Toe and Sean Calejo, Ryan Schlong, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Catherine Hensler at ondeckic.com. She's from Fight Club. She's doing some kind of podcast on Tuesday nights, the Sour Graps. She's doing Friday night podcast. She's doing Wednesday night podcast with the Mark Order. She's everywhere. She's very popular. It's not easy to be a popular female wrestling fan. A lot of creeps want to meet you. Fucking creeps. Matt Carifo, no relationship. None whatsoever to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump, the only respectable gentleman from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock, Milwaukee Tom. You know him and many, many names. I know him as Milwaukee Tom. Ja. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, the true prince of pro. Braden Bergen, the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. Kerry Cowling. Brendan Haney. Asian Joe. Matthew Jarvis. Mike Peterson. Rob Humphrey. The Daily Smark. What's the website, T-Donk?
DailySmark.com.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, K-Dog.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
T-Don coming in hot with the burp ski. The Bounty Hunter joining us soon. So let's hit on a couple newses and notes. I want to hear your guys. I want to get some reads off of you fine fellas. A lot of it news surrounding certain individuals. First, we'll start with the good news. Jim Duggan my man.
Ho!
Cancer free.
Look at that.
So he had his surgery a couple months ago in October, and he announced Wednesday that he is cancer free, prostate cancer, no mas.
Good for him.
So good news for Jib Duggan.
Jib Duggan.
Jib free.
Blackjack Lanza unfortunately passes away at the age of 86.
That's a
bummer. Yeah.
So if you are familiar with a little old school wrestling, he was one of the Blackjacks. He teamed with Blackjack Mulligan in the 70s, originally tag team partner of Bobby Duncombe Jr.
Hey,
nope, bro. Senior.
Not junior. Trained by Vern Gagne. They worked in the WWF in 1975 and even had a title run there. And then he was a road agent and producer for the WWE, and he went into the Hall of Fame in 2006.
Producer for road agent for them for a very long time.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Blackjack Lanza.
Yeah. The height of the Attitude Era, pretty much, and far before that, from like 96 to like I want to say like 2000.
Yeah, he's in a lot of pull parts. You'll see him on the screen there. When you're watching some of that WWF stuff. Have you guys been following the Jack Evans saga?
No.
I know that somebody's been posting a lot of botches of his on YouTube lately.
Well, Jack Evans tweeted that he is being extorted by two police officers from the Del Valle Police Department in Mexico City. This will sound like a fake message, but it is not. I'm currently being extorted by two police officers.
Extorted.
In the last 4 days, I've had to pay around 7,000 pesos, which is 350 American dollars.
No, it's not. That's like 350.
I just said 350.
No, $3.50.
He said, I am not paying anymore. So if I get arrested on drug charges in the next little bit, I want to put it out there right now that it was planted by the police department. He later followed up and said he has filed an official complaint and got all my witnesses together. According to him, there are a lot, and I'm just laying low. Nothing else to share.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Well, there you go.
Well, Tony tweeted, texted us the other day, Jeff Hardy released from his WWE contract.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. This is a bummer. What to make of this.
He needs help. It sounds like he fell off the wagon again.
Yeah, but according to his wife, everything's okay. So I don't know.
Well, maybe it's the fact that he was just burnt out and he said, "Fuck this, I'm leaving." And they said, "Go to rehab," and he said, "I don't need rehab." That could be the way it played out.
Possibly.
His brother Matthew also said,
who?
Matthew.
He's got a brother?
Matthew. Also said he was doing well. He was home. He spoke to him. He will not disclose why he was released. That is Jeff's story to tell. And then Jeff even posted something on his Twitter because he's I guess he's not allowed to wrestle, but he's allowed to go out and sing some of his songs.
Paroxy Wygen's going back on the road.
But he look, if you can find the video on his Twitter, he looks fine. He doesn't look like he's not impaired. He's like, come out and see me, play my jams. Willow.
Yeah, he was probably burnt out. And he recently sat down with Stone Cold for the for Stone Cold sessions, whatever that was called. Skull. There you go.
What?
I drink beer.
What?
Raise some hell.
What? Beat Deborah. What?
Oh, all right. Come on now.
My favorite pirate is now a free agent.
Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go Paul Burchill.
He's been a free agent for a long time.
Also a free agent.
Oh, there you go. So they let her go? They lapsed her contract?
Her contract expired. They're letting her, you know, her contract's expired. Gargano's contract has expired. Now he has his Pro Wrestling Tees store back. He's got his Twitch channels coming back. His future is uncertain. Likewise with Kyle O'Reilly, his contract expired Friday. So he is also free to go as he pleases.
Huh.
Look at that.
That's something.
What do you guys think about that? You think these guys are popping up elsewhere?
Yeah. I think it's a lock that Kyle O'Reilly is in AEW. That's a lock.
What about Johnny Baseball?
Johnny Gargano?
Johnny Gardner?
Gargano.
I don't know. I don't know where he would go.
Gargano.
He's not going anywhere until. What happened? Tony, you said something funny?
I said Kevin. He doesn't Gargano.
All right, that's pretty good.
It's fucking terrible. What's wrong
you
with
fucking
you?
Fell back in your chair, sir.
Yeah, because it was that bad.
Oh, you liked it. You were laughing. You had a laugh.
There was no LOLs over here, buddy.
Lols.
But you said like Gargamel from like the cat from the Smurfs. Was that a cat from the Smurfs?
I heard that's the gimmick they wanted to give him on the main roster.
Johnny Gargamel.
Yes, Johnny Gargamel.
That's right.
But Gargamel was the old man.
Yeah. Yeah, the cat was Azrael.
Oh.
Yeah, Gargamel is the old guy.
Oh, okay.
Bless you.
Thank you very much.
I don't see him in AEW for some reason. I don't know why.
Because he's not there yet.
All right, Tony.
Booyah! That one got me.
Me too.
It got me. So Carrie Sane can go wrestle wherever she wants now. I don't care.
Back to Choco Pro.
Whatever, dude. I'm not into the fucking Japanese women wrestling shit. That fucking Rio Jamie Hayter match from Dynamite, I hated every second of it.
Wow.
It's unrealistic. She's fucking tiny. She got the dog shit beat out of her for 15 minutes and she still ended up winning.
I
don't care about Riho.
All right, the whole thing for you was a size thing.
It was the fact that she got the dog shit beat out of her for 15 minutes, like crazy power moves.
I mean, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, but Rey Mysterio's not Riho. Come on.
But if Rey Mysterio makes a living of getting the shit beat out of him and then coming out and winning.
Yeah, but Rey Mysterio's not Riho. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio gives me more. Yeah, I fucking hate you.
Hey, Matthew Birch loves the zingers tonight, by the way. Thank you, sir. Look at Matt. He's so annoyed.
We got Rey Mysterio. We got Rey Mysterio.
Hey, yo.
It's just not. It doesn't work for me. Rio doesn't work for me. The way AEW is trying to present these Japanese women just doesn't work.
Oh, okay. All right. I got to ask you something floated along my along on YouTube. Ryo Mizunami took on Freddie Mercury with Lulu Pencil. Was this a thing?
If it was on like a dark, I haven't seen it.
I'm Sakura, dying to hear everybody's comments on Wednesday. People
is that
have
Sakura, the Freddie Mercury.
No. Yes. Emi Sakura. Yes.
Now Emi Sakura wrestled a dark match at the Dynamite I was at.
But no, there was a match she was supposed to wrestle Ryo Mizunami. Mizunami was back.
Maybe that was on AEW Dark or Dark Elevated that they taped like a week ago.
Mizunami would be fine if she'd fucking stop doing the pantomimes of the rope shit. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Smell
you dig?
Cooking.
I dig. Let's say it. Let's bring our guest in tonight.
The Bounty Hunter. There
the
he
Bounty
is.
Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith.
Yo.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, brothers. How are y'all?
We're
living
fine,
the dream.
Man. Yeah.
Do a little wrestling talk about wrestling.
Amazing.
You were just out in our neck of the woods this past weekend out here in New Jersey. How was that?
It was phenomenal, man. It was a really good time.
You and that Darius Carter?
Yeah, Darius Carter, man, he's another guy that I feel like is just like me that I didn't really know too much of him till I found out about him this year, and I think he didn't know too much about me until he found out about me this year, and I feel like we both worked well with each other, so I'd like to work him again. That's cool.
Yeah, he's a very, very professional. Pre-pandemic, we had him come to our studio, and he showed up in a three-piece suit, and it was not something we were prepared for because we all dress like slobs.
I mean, hey, I joined that category. I dress like a slob as well, so hey. I got a tee on right now, buddy. I stay in a t-shirt. That's all I wear is tees, pretty much, man.
Well, when you're the Bounty Hunter, the man with the black halo, you can dress however you want because you're an ass kicker.
As long as I'm kicking ass. As long as
I saw your clip on Twitter, you powerbombed the gentleman. I guess it was over the weekend. He did not hit the table very kindly.
It's not my problem. Not my problem.
Look, if you're out there inflicting the damage, I understand. You did the job you were hired to do, but man, you're a badass, man. I'm not looking to tangle with you, my friend.
Don't find yourself across the ring owing me money, baby.
No, I'm good on the debts. My debts are clear. But Brian Keith is joining us. He's tearing it up in mostly Texas is where you're based out of. You're the new Texas pro champion. You ended Mysterious Q's 700 plus day reign. What does that mean for you that new Texas pro puts that trust in you, especially because Mysterious Q is such a staple for that promotion and throughout Texas?
Oh man, honestly, it means a lot to me. It means that at the time, Mysterious Q was the man, and he still is the man. Just because he don't have the title does not make him the man. But, you know, me beating him and being able to stop such a lengthy reign and for me to start my reign and just get that torch passed to me, it's a blessing, it's an honor, and here I am willing to carry the torch, man.
And for those who might be introduced to you for the first time, can you explain to our fans the Bounty Hunter character and the inspiration behind it and what came into such a unique, awesome character?
Thank you. It started off, I was just like a cowboy, and I wrestled at Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, and he told me, like, you know, have you ever seen Sammy Davis Jr. and the Rifleman? And I'd never seen that before, but he was he's a bounty hunter, and I want you to, like, you know, try to own in that character and make that yours. But this was, like, way back then. This wasn't even now. It was probably, like, 7 years ago or something he told me that. And that mixed with, like, my dad is a huge fan of Westerns. He loves, like, all Westerns. And one of the big ones he enjoys is Once Upon a Time in the West. So that character, the man with the harmonica, I feel like every time he just came around and you heard that harmonica, like, it was too late. You know, you were already dead already. So I felt like just mixing that with the screw culture and the gritty, you know, the gritty hard workingness of Swisher House and, you know, SUC Screwed Up Click, you know, of Houston, just that hard Houston vibe mixed with Westernness. And I'm also a big fan of hardcore, like hardcore bands and like death metal and stuff like that. So just, I feel like what you see today is just a mix of all that in a pot together. And that makes the Underground King, the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith.
Well, the Underground King, Brian Keith, the Bounty Hunter, is tearing it up. You mentioned the torch was passed to you, and you have had successful defenses of the New Texas Pro Championship. And this is a hell of a list. Davey Richards, Stallion Rogers, Storm Grayson. You were in a Monsters Ball match with four other guys. Calvin Tankman and Aaron Mercer. And you're actually going to step into a steel cage this weekend and defend your championship against Aaron Mercer. What's the preparation for that? For steel cage match, you know, championships on the line. No one can get in. You got to get out. How do you prepare for such a match?
Man, I wish I could tell you I have a game plan, but when something like that happens, cage matches are dangerous. You know, the element of danger is super high. At this point, what's going on between me and Aaron Mercer, him attacking me after the match that me and him had, and then attacking other officials and attacking Kiefer Bartek, is more than just me defending my championship. It's me setting things straight and putting an exclamation mark on my reign and who I am, that you can't be coming around here messing up things. So it's going to be a very dangerous time, that's for sure.
And it seems like you find yourself in dangerous situations. Recently, GCW, you and Mysterious Q found yourself across the ring from the second gear crew, AJ Gray and Matthew Justice. Awesome match, unbelievable stuff. And you've done a bunch of stuff in GCW. How important has the GCW brand been to the Bounty Hunter?
Man, GCW it's been super important for me, because really, when you think about our generation and what we have to give towards professional wrestling at this point, as far as something being creative and new, GCW is that. GCW is this generation's it show. This generation's like every guy who's a professional wrestler right now is on the GCW show. I'm gonna just say it like that. And when they come around to our town, I'm dying to get on the card. I'm dying to show what I have to offer to the company. And it's always a great time. The fans are always super crunk. They're always super into it. And I'm always looking forward to them coming back. So I want to say they're coming back February. If I'm mistaken, I'm there once again.
February 4th, it'll be GCW versus Loco Fight Club 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any shot we'll see the Bounty Hunter at the Hammerstein Ballroom?
Ooh.
Man, Hammerstein Ballroom. I haven't heard anything yet, but you know that's a very legendary venue. And if it was,
you there, Bounty Hunter? We're having some technical issues on.
Sorry,
we can't really hear you. It's okay.
My internet's jacked.
We're on the line with the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith. The Mott Spock, he's watching on the Facebook. He wants to know what kind of hardcore bands you're into. He's frozen. He's frozen in time.
Great.
Did we lose the Bounty Hunter?
I think we lost him.
Did someone get his internet? Oh, he's back. He's down here.
He's coming in. He's got a run in.
Coming in hot. All right, let's get rid of this one then.
No.
Oh, there we go.
No.
It's a very handsome man, by the way. Throw that out there.
Oh.
But he's coming. We got him.
We're working on technology, baby. Come on.
Technology.
We're working hard. Working hard. It's okay.
He's back. We got some movement. I think we're good. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. See if he has to log back in again.
My internet is trash. Can you guys see me?
Yeah, we can see you. Did you put a bounty on your internet? Mr. Keith, if you can hear us,
I'm trying.
There might be an option where you can just call in and do audio if that's easier.
Yeah, if you want to try shutting off your camera, maybe that'll be the better bet.
You hear me?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we got you now.
Five-second pose. Technology, man. This is the world we live in now. Because of this goddamn pandemic, we got to do all this weird, crazy shit. All right, let's take him.
Oh, you threw him out? What are you doing?
I'm going to let him fix his shit, man. I can see when he starts moving down there. Are you okay over there, Tony? You a little sweaty?
Yeah, a little bit.
You got worried? Brian Keith's coming after you?
Dude, I wouldn't fuck with him. Are you kidding me? Him and Darius Carter, that's all I need.
Yeah, but you don't know if, you know, you don't have any say. What if you did somebody wrong and they put a hit out on you?
Here's some trivia while we're waiting. Who's the only other person that came to the studio wearing a suit?
Drew Gulak.
That would be Drew Gulak.
Oh, Matt beat you to it. Kevin knew the answer, though. So I give you both a point. There you go.
I did, because I have the Bounty Hunter's internet as well, so it took me a couple seconds.
All right. Well, he's figuring that out. He might call back in.
God, that was such a great day when Drew Gulak came in.
Yeah, you guys. Matt surprised me. And we had a good buddy Dave Sturch in studio too.
Yeah, yeah. We did it. We do it all.
Of course, we do.
We do it all. While we wait for Mr. Keith to possibly join us again, in case you were keeping tabs on Alberto Del Rio.
I was not.
All charges are dismissed.
Get out of here.
The case was dismissed due to a missing witness.
Wait, was this in Mexico? Where was
This is in Bexar County, Texas.
Dude, do you remember what he was like being accused of doing?
Sexual assault and aggravated kidnapping.
Yep.
Bro. All
right. He's back.
Yeah, but if the witness doesn't want to testify, what are you going to do?
All right. I think I'm good.
There we go.
I'm booting up my laptop just in case. I'm going to try to get it going on my laptop. My phone is being ridiculous.
It's all good. Let's take a look. This is the world we live in now. We got to deal with this technology. It's crazy, man.
Yes, yes, yes. My internet is horrible. I definitely need to just upgrade at this point.
Look, we had Teddy Long on the show, and he had internet problems, and then he took his shirt off and walked around his apartment, and it worked. Now, I'm not saying you have to take. Saying you have to take your shirt off, but I mean,
yeah, he kind of just did. He wants you to take your shirt off.
No. Easy over there, T-Donk.
Hey, man. Hey, man. It's going to be $200 extra dollars.
No.
Kevin will Venmo it to you.
Yeah. No. Can't afford that. It's Christmas time, man. Can't afford that shit.
That's your Christmas present. This is your Christmas present.
I'll return it.
Oh, damn. Wow.
You ever seen this man without a shirt on? He's fucking Diesel, son.
I know, but I don't want to show off in front of our guest.
Not you.
Did he answer this?
No, I don't think he did. Motspock wants to know what kind of hardcore bands you listen to.
What kind of hardcore bands are too, bro? My favorite hardcore band at the moment right now I'm listening to is, I don't know if they're hardcore. I listen to Knocked Loose. And I just recently came upon Jesus Piece is going hard too. One of my favorite bands, metal bands, is August Burns Red. I love those guys. Runs Black in a day. I still don't think that's. So many different subgenres and everything. I don't know what's really hardcore and what isn't, but I listen to like the Ghost of Spot. I don't want to say that as well.
Brian, we caught some of that. You're still kind of going in and out.
So like how I got into hardcore music because I really wasn't into it.
Might have to chalk this one up as a loss.
Maybe. We might have to try this again in the future. The future.
We can't, in year 2000.
I think we lost them again.
Yep.
I also think my cats have been fucking my microphone.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcasts.
So nice. Fucking boo.
I used that years ago.
I know. And it was just as bad when you brought it
up. Oh, dude, that's brilliant.
I laughed.
Brilliant stuff.
It was terrible, but I laughed.
It's no worse than what you did tonight.
Oh, come on. I had some gems, bro. All
right. Identify one gem that you had.
I don't remember any of them.
Yeah, neither do I.
You know, Matt, I just want to tell you, I was looking because you had mentioned Blackjack Lanza's passing earlier. Let me get a microphone. I don't see any title history of the old belts. Like, they don't do the retired belts anymore in the Almanac.
I don't know about the Almanac.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, because the Almanac, I guess, years ago, before they had all this other information in here, they used to do, like, you know, defunct championships and whatnot. So, I don't know.
Were you looking for one in particular?
I was looking for the old WWF tag belts. I thought they had lineage to one of the current tag belts, but according to this, it doesn't. I know it does. It's just not in here. So, whatevers.
Mr. Keith, we're back.
Yes, we should be good.
All right.
Are we okay?
Good. Peace. I think we're okay. I think there's a little bit of a lag, but I think we're good.
I'm hoping. Okay. All right. Nice.
All right. So where were we? We were talking about hardcore. We're talking about New Texas Pro Championship. Big match this weekend against Aaron Mercer. You're also making your debut at West Coast Pro Wrestling on January 14th and Unsanctioned Pro Wrestling on the 15th in Columbus, Ohio. How did you stay on top of your game during the pandemic? Because obviously you weren't out there wrestling. Were you still able to train and keep yourself sharp?
Well, I also wrestle for Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, and they have a facility where fans weren't allowed there, but we were still able to put on shows and still record. So pretty much we were going to practice and recording. As long as we had a negative test, they would let us in, and we were still able to do what we, you know, what we had to do. So especially with Texas guidelines are so loose. Down here, we were all still kind of training still, as long as you were like weren't sick or anything. Everybody was still going hard and everybody was still training. So like pandemic, it affected me as far as, like, you know, being more cautious and things and, you know, being able to try to stay healthy as much as I can and stuff like that. But as far as training and stuff goes, I was training regularly.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good. How much has the guys... That's awesome. That's good.
How much has what?
How much being involved with Booker T's school has helped you going forward with your professional wrestling career?
Man, it honestly has helped me tremendously. It's like almost like a cheat code or a hack or something like that, man. Because everything I've learned, I've been able to kind of, like, just keep in my back pocket for times, you know, when there's always some type of random scenario happening or some crazy problem that I have to overcome. I'm about to wrestle. But my time at Booker's and just learning from him, what, I've always been able to, you know, just adapt and overcome to any situation.
I was gonna ask what differences are there from wrestling in Texas and then in the Northeast for a company like GCW?
What was that? One more time.
All right. So you wrestle. You have a home in Texas. You reside. That's your home base. But then you come and work for GCW. What's the difference between working for a company in Texas as opposed to a company that's based out of the Northeast but can also travel as well?
Oh, okay. I'd say the opportunity to get way more eyes on me. I've noticed that the more I get out and the more debuts I've been having, my followers gone on social medias, and I've been having better merch sales and just better opportunity for people to just get more eyes on me that they haven't seen. I've wrestled in Texas my whole career, but just getting out and be able to go to new countries, that's a great way to say it.
Are we all frozen, or is it just me?
No, you're good.
I think we're good. Okay. I got the bars there too.
I don't even know. I was.
This is going to be the greatest ever.
We're rolling with the punches here. We're on the line with the bounty hunter Brian Keith. You can follow him on Twitter, Instagram at Bounty Keith. Sorry, Mr. Keith. This is we're trying our best. I don't think we're doing you justice. Because I think you're a phenomenal wrestler, and I think you have a great story to be told. And if people haven't found you yet, I think they should search you out and check out some of your work, because you do some amazing shit, man.
It's all good, man.
Maybe we could try this at another date and time.
Thank you.
Brian, can you hear us? Oh.
All right.
Don't worry, we'll figure it back out. It's not really anybody's fault. It's just we want to make sure we give them the time, you know.
Yeah,
and this wasn't working.
And doing the research on him, he deserves a good, a proper interview. So
of course. So as Matt types to him to just let him know everything's cool.
Yeah. I feel bad, man, because
I do too.
I kind of been chasing him for a couple weeks and hounding him and trying to get this to work out. So I just want to make sure he's okay. I don't want him to think we're a bunch of hand jobs. I mean, we are a bunch of hand jobs, but not.
Well, we got a
hand job Tony, of course.
That's right.
Holly Jolly Tony.
Jingle balls.
Right, so I'll wait to hear back from him and see what the story is. But yeah, sorry if you tuned in to listen to Brian Keith. We just technical issues, man.
Hey, listen, man, my Wi-Fi shits the bed every single week, so it's not surprising that someone in Texas has the same issues with us.
Well, please, at Bounty Keith on Twitter and Instagram, give him a follow, and he's got a big match this weekend in Houston for New Texas Pro Wrestling, steel cage match defending his championship title, so check that out. And he works a bunch of GCW stuff, so please, please check him out.
Yeah. I 100% agree, and I'm going to explore the F out of this stuff. So I'm very excited.
I changed my name.
What are you talking about?
I did not.
Come on, bro. What's wrong with you?
I did not do that.
What's wrong with Ass Crack Matt?
Everything.
You can do that?
Oh, God damn it.
That shouldn't be right.
Damn it. All right.
That shouldn't be right.
No, you're right, Kevin. It shouldn't be right. You shouldn't be able to be allowed to change my goddamn name. Where do we go from here? Well, I guess since we were talking about Rio and Jamie Hayter, I was at AEW.
In L.I., baby.
On Long Island.
Oh, God, you did so much this week.
I really did.
Ugh.
Sorry, I'm texting.
Ass crack, Matt. He's got you back.
What a weird dynamic in Long Island. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful arena.
Yeah.
I know it's brand new, but beautiful arena. It wasn't sold out, but there were a shitload of people there. I know it outdrew Raw.
Yes. I think it doubled.
But man, fucking MJF was over as fuck.
See, that's disappointing.
Why is that disappointing to you, Tony?
Because you figured his hometown would have shit on him proper. You know what I'm saying?
No. That's Long Island's one of those places, but that for some ungodly reason they're proud to be from.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
I love Long Island. I'm not gonna lie to you.
That's a fucking shit stain on the map.
It really
kind of is. I haven't been there much, but all my college roommates were from Long Island, so I used to go up there a lot. So I love it. House of Glory essentially runs in Long Island, so I used to go there. On the LIRR, so it's I love it.
Don't they run out of Queens?
Yeah, but you have to take the Long Island Railroad to get to the Jamaica stop, so it is Queens. You're right, but yeah, it's essentially Long Island.
I've been out on Nassau
with Long Island. Long Island's gross.
I called a show for Tier One out there at NYWC. Of course, I've been to Roosevelt Field. I've been to the soccer field over there a few times.
Field over there?
Yeah, it's near, what the fuck is the town? It's out near the stadium. Well, the old
Uniondale.
Yes. Yeah. My wife used to be She used to be on the field for the Rough Riders as their field doctor. So we used to go out there once in a while.
Sexy
field doctor.
Yes, the Rough Riders. Very sexy. You know, soccer
for the Rough Riders.
Lots of foot problems and shit like that. So if somebody needed to get taped up, she would help them out. You know,
see, that's that foot doctor money, son.
Fuck yeah!
But awesome. The venue's beautiful. It's again, shame it's there. I think it was like it only opened like 2 weeks before that.
And that's the new place that replaced the Nassau Coliseum, or the Nassau Coliseum.
All right, there? So this is in
Belmont. Who was that?
Whoa.
Your so was like so.
Oh, sorry about that.
Kevin doesn't get those at all. Like, it's always me and Matt. For Kevin to have that happen to him was awesome.
I didn't think it was that bad, but if I hear it back, I'll,
oh, it's
I'll
completely
probably...
noticeable. So.
So. All right, so this is the new Islanders arena, right? It's designed specifically for the New York Islanders.
Yeah,
the shitty Belmont.
Yes.
Which is also, I think, close to Queens as well.
It is very close to Queens. There was a lot of Mets memorabilia in the bar we went to.
God yeah. Christ. So it's
a lot of Phil Reyes again, there at the bar.
That's. Oh, did you see Phil?
No, surprisingly, and I don't know how I missed him. Was he there?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. He said a lot of guys would Mets memorabilia, and I figured it was a lot of Phil Reyes in the bar.
No, a lot of Mets memorabilia in the bar.
Oh, I thought you meant just a lot of jack-offs wearing fucking Mets jerseys and caps and shit.
Caps? You sound like such a fucking old man.
What do you call them? Hats?
Hats.
It's not a baseball hat. It's a cap, you moron.
No, stop. Tony, stop. You're done.
It's a cap.
No, you're done. If you call it a cap, done.
Nah.
Old man Tony rides again.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, Matt, change his name to Old Man Tony.
When I think hat, I think cowboy hat or a fedora or something like that. I don't think a baseball
fedora.
Hat. Yeah, it's a fucking hat. It's a man's hat.
Fucking dickbag.
Dude, if you call any hat a cap in 20, what, I don't know what year it is, 2022, 2021.
Jesus.
You're done. You're over. You're buried, brother. Doesn't work for me, brother. All right, T Donk. He's gonna change my name now too. Watch. He's changing my name on the. I knew it. I knew it. He's
changing.
Well,
you wearing a cap. I had to change your name.
Cap wearing Kevin. That's actually kind of catchy.
Cap wearing Kev.
We went out to this beautiful venue for AEW. It was an excellent show. It was a great episode of Dark. MJF was over as fuck.
Yeah.
He won the diamond, him and Dante Martin won the diamond battle royal gimmick.
Yep.
So he's winning this shit for 3 years in a row now?
No. He's got to fight Dante.
Oh, he's going to lose to Dante? Come on.
I think that Wardlow heel face turn is coming, bro.
He's not losing to fucking Dante Martin, dude.
What do you mean? Do you understand? Like,
he's beating everybody else.
They're strapping the rocket to Dante.
Tony doesn't watch. Did you watch, Tony?
Who gives a shit? Who MJF has only lost one match, right? He lost his title shot. That was it. He doesn't lose. He ain't losing to fucking Dante Martin. Come on, dude.
That's not a bad point.
Look, Dante Martin's got Team Taz. There's some dissension there.
Look, all due respect to Team Taz.
No, he left Team Taz. He turned on him.
He's out though now.
Yes.
Because I didn't watch Dynamite because I was there. They don't talk about it on commentary.
Well, didn't he eliminate
Ricky
Starks?
Yes, but does that mean he turned on Team Taz, or does that mean
Taz was pissed.
Okay.
Brother.
So I didn't watch Dynamite. I was like...
Were you there for Hook's debut?
Fucking A, I was, dude.
All right, you gotta give me the goods on that shit.
Oh, Hook's over. Hook is over, and Hook looked fucking good.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
What are you shaking your head for, Kevin?
I don't like it.
What don't you like?
I don't want to say I don't like Hook. I don't. No, you know what? I'll take that back. I watched that match. He's incredible in the ring. Fluid. Crisp. Any adjective you want to throw on there. I just don't like. This is going to be like a WWE type criticism. He doesn't look threatening to me at all.
Brother.
At all. For the gimmick that they're trying to give him. Like, he's not his dad. He's not Taz.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Like, you know, you get in there and you think, like, he's just some pushover and he's a fucking machine. I don't know.
Does Chad Gable look threatening to you?
Yes, 100%.
Without knowing his background, you think Chad Gable is threatening to you?
All right, so Chad Gable's been around for, like, a good, like, 6 years now.
You don't know Chad Gable's background. You just see him in the wrestling ring. You don't know anything about him.
Yes. Chad's bigger than Hook, so yes.
Okay. Because I think that's a fun part of Hook is it's unassuming that he could stretch you Let's say that's the character they're going for. Because I did not watch Rampage either, so I don't know what commentary said. All I know is he was over as fuck with the crowd. He looked great in the ring. It worked.
Yeah.
I'm all in on Hook, and his hair is amazing.
All right, so that's another thing. He looks like a fucking Muppet.
His hair, or just him, he looks like a Muppet.
He looks like the Muppet. He looks like the latest human Muppet that they introduced.
There's a human Muppet?
Well, it's like, he's not a frog, he's not a pig, he's not a, you know, a gonzo. He's a Muppet.
Can I ask a Chad Gable question real quick? I don't mean to derail this. Is he teaming with Otis?
I don't know if he has been lately, but yes, they were a team. They were called the Alpha Academy.
Back to Hook.
Brother.
Oh, brother. Do you, Chad?
Hook was awesome. Dynamite was great. It was not, like, on paper, a very exciting, like, not a grab-you-by-the-balls episode, but, man, when you got there, it was fucking good. Trent came back. Sue brought back the minivan. I don't give a shit what them fucking fake-ass news reporters out there, Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp, Mike Johnson. Sue is not in Chaos, okay? She's not a member of Chaos. Stop reporting it!
Okay.
Fucking people.
Wow.
Matt, so did you feel like the crowd... All right, so Dynamite. The main event was what? Daniel Bryan and Johnny Silver, right?
Johnny Hungy.
Did that... To me, it feel like the second hour kind of fell off from the first.
No. I don't think so. Fuck you, Ryan Schlong!
She was confirmed to be in Chaos.
Any fucking dicksnot can go on Wikipedia and edit things. She's not in Chaos. She's not even a wrestler.
I felt like the first hour of Dynamite was super hot. The Punk, the MJF stuff, all that stuff was great. And I felt like the second hour kind of slid down a little bit. I just want to know how it resonated in the were people into Daniel Bryan and Silver? Because I didn't see it that way on TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People were into it. They were in the Young Bucks against Rocky and...
What was the women's match? There was a women's match in there too. Yeah,
Rio and Jamie Hayter. It was the shits.
Okay, maybe that. All right, you know what, Matt? There you go. You just rejiggered my memory. Maybe that's where I felt like it kind of plateaued, if you will, and then I just never got back into the rest of the show.
I thought that match was not very good.
Yeah, which is a shame because I love Johnny Hungy.
No, not Johnny Hungy. The women's.
No, I know. But I'm saying the rest, it kind of ruined, it kind of like deflated me, I guess, for the rest of the show. So maybe that's where my opinion of the second hour comes from. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I went to go get, we had access to a club, which was another, you know, nobody knew. I upgraded because I got an email and they were like, do you want to upgrade to this club? And I was like, fuck yeah, I do.
Fuck yeah.
It was like unlimited food and drinks. And after the last two times I've been to Dynamite with the fucking lines to get to just to go to the bathroom alone, I was like, if this is going to give us unlimited food and drinks, non-alcoholic beverages, I'm all in because I'm not standing in the fucking line for 40 minutes to get a hot dog and a soda.
How much?
Nobody knew where the club was. And then when we found out where the club was, it was under the seats. You couldn't see into the arena. And when I went back during the Lucha Stay-Man tag match, all the hot dogs were gone.
Did you get a handshake at least?
No. I bet you if I asked for a hot dog, they would have got me one, but...
So they didn't have TVs in this club?
They did, but they wouldn't put the... I was like, you guys don't watch... They don't put the show on here? They're like, we're not allowed.
So you went all in for food. You didn't get to watch the show from wherever this club was. You didn't get hot dogs. Like, what the
fuck? Here we go. Ready for this, Kevin? Let me get my balls busted. We got there early because I have to be early for everything. And I was like, we're taking advantage of this. It took us about 25 minutes to have someone tell us where this club was. Once we got in the club, I had four hot dogs.
So you ate four hot dogs.
Yeah, dude.
I had two double Jack and Cokes on an empty stomach. I had to eat something.
So why were you complaining there were no more hot dogs? You fucking ate them all.
Because they said it was open all an hour past when the show was over. So I thought when I went back at 8:30, there'd be more food there. Like, they had popcorn, but there was nothing to put the popcorn in. You couldn't put it in a little container, take it to your seat.
How many hot dogs were you anticipating on eating?
I was at least going back for another one or two. I was getting my $50 worth of hot dogs.
It was $50 each to like upgrade to this?
Yes.
Yeah,
you got it. I expected the way they sold it to me.
Well, Kev, how much does a hot dog go for on Long Island? Probably like,
oh,
10
like
bucks
11 bucks, 12 bucks.
So there you, so you got your money's worth.
Almost. I wanted to go over. I wanted to eat them at a house and home.
You had $44 worth of hot dogs and fucking popcorn that you couldn't carry back to your seat.
I didn't eat any popcorn.
Why?
I didn't want popcorn. Popcorn and hot dogs.
Well, what were you complaining about? There was nothing to bring it back to your seat for.
Because what if I want, if they had something, maybe I would have brought it back for Kate and Anthony.
I'm sure they have, they have fucking four legs between the two of them. They could walk and get their own popcorn.
Yeah, but I was going.
They don't need the, they don't need fucking Uber slobs over here fucking bringing them food.
Don't be a dick.
Uber teats.
I do like hot dogs.
Hot dogs are delicious. I thought Dynamite was a good show, and I thought Rampage was a good show, too.
Hey, if you had a hot dog.
Hey, Matt. If you're going to go to the upgrade your seats level, how many hot dogs would you have? Oh, I'll eat them all. Thank you.
More than whatever I whatever I had. God damn it. I had a really good time at Dynamite, though. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I got that one. Blocked forever. For life.
Fucking A. Stop spamming us, you fucks.
Why? What? How are people spamming us? I don't get it.
Because you can. Yep. We're on YouTube, so you just go on YouTube and fucking type in spam shit.
Like, what are they saying? Yeah. I'm watching on the stream.
They're,
I don't know what the...
they're just fucking links to some nonsense, and we can't be bothered. So fuck them.
Exactly. Hey man,
fuck.
If we're cool enough to get spammed, I guess.
Means we made it. It means we made it.
Yes.
But AEW was fantastic. I had a great time. I can't wait for the January 5th show. Tickets for Atlantic City go on sale Friday, so I'm pumped for that.
Pumped,
you're gonna pull the trigger on that too?
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Look, man, Jesus. My window for when I could do wrestling shit is now until like March, so I'm gonna jam it all in there.
So fuck, you got,
yeah, jam it, motherfucker.
You got a lot of free weeknights available for you?
I don't have a lot, but it's easier for me to take off now versus in the spring and the summer.
Yeah, jam that shit in there.
Jam
so
it
it's,
up.
You know, if I, like today I sent the email and I was asking for the days off for wrestling shows, they're more than likely to be accommodated versus the summertime.
Like how you said that.
Summertime. You know what I'm saying? The summertime. Summertime. If you've never been to an AEW show, definitely check it out. It was a fucking great time.
I agree.
Listen,
I'm all in on AEW. No pun intended. I love it. I think it's my favorite thing to watch. Although, I mean, I watch Impact. Obviously, that's holds a dear place to my heart. But I'm a big, big, big AEW guy.
Big guy. T-Donk, I know what your where your bread is buttered.
I don't remember shit about this show.
Well, Tony Donk, I'm gonna walk you through the fallout from Hard Times 2. All right.
Pope was still concussed.
Pope is still concussed. We saw Kobe Carino and the Fixers take on Victor Benjamin and the OGK.
Yes.
Do you recall?
No.
Kobe Carino got the win?
Did he?
Yeah, he pinned Victor Benjamin.
Of course he did. You think he was going to pin one of the OGK? Come on.
Yeah, but I thought this was a really good match, and I thought Kobe Carino looked great, and I liked the Fixers, and Taven and Bennett looked fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, Kobe's been looking fantastic. It kind of threw me that he fucking won on the pay-per-view, that he beat Doug Williams, considering the British Invasion is back.
They are back, and they wrestled recently past guest of the show, Hawks. Airy.
Yeah, why does he say Airy like that? Like, Hawks Airy!
Hey, Airy.
I heard when birds get sick, they get area.
You're the fucking worst.
Sorry. No disrespect to the Hawks boys, but yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It's a pun. Live with it.
I'm really liking this new Jax Dane character.
Yes. He gives zero fucks.
Oh, yeah. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
He's making his pitch every time he comes out. He's a former national champion, former tag champion, and former world champion, and he's coming back for it. I love it. And he beat Mims.
Well, he to add to Tony's story on this Jax Dane, he lost to Mims at Hard Times 2. Then he went to Billy Corgan, and he wanted a rematch, and Billy Corgan said, no, no, no. And then Jax Dane said, I'll put my championship series title shot on the line against this fella. Just give me the rematch. So they gave him the rematch. Crimson said it on commentary. Jack Dane talked a lot of shit. He easily beat Mims. So there, I think this is the next guy to go after Booger Eater.
Well, after Kevin's boyfriend.
Oh yeah, baby. Always ready.
He was
unless they spin off and they give him something to go on with the Pope for now. Because remember, Mick Foley's the one that said, I got a surprise for you, Matt Cardona, and that's why the Pope came out. So who knows? It might be a Pope-Cardona thing in the undercard, and Cardona will be waiting in the wings.
Oh, or Pope-Cardona number one contender match.
Pope also has a title shot that he can cash in.
Yeah, doesn't he have like the TV title thing going on?
No, he can cash in for any belt, whatever he wants. That's why Scion went after Tyrus, because Scion felt he wanted to go for Tyrus for the TV title.
Ah,
yeah. There's a strictly business promo. Tom Lattimore is the only one that lost at Hard Times 2, so he is angry and he takes it out on Miguel Robles. This match clearly showed why I don't like Velvet Sky on commentary. She talked all over everybody and she called him Bram.
Well, because she's an idiot.
Bram Bram.
She called Lattimore Bram Bram.
Bram Bram.
That's a shame.
This was Velvet Sky?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Velvet time.
Genocide defeated Palo Blaze. They were a tag team.
I didn't understand this. Maybe I missed something. Why are they feuding? And like, why is Tamron?
Tony, you're the NWA expert.
So the story they were telling on commentary is that Genocide wanted to cash in their championship tag title match. But Palo Blaze said no, because they have to wait for the right time. But I guess Genocide doesn't. She just wants to beat people up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Taryn Tyrell was kind of like in the middle of this, and then in the middle of this match, that Natalie Markova came out, and she distracted the referee. So there's a lot of weird things going on here, but I think they're going to push Genocide into being a huge face.
They should, because Palo Blaze, like, she's too green. She's not very good. She's really not.
Yeah. There was a weird promo with the Hex, Homicide, and Le Rebellion.
Yeah, a little strange.
Yeah, they're all winners, so that was it.
And the microphone, like, Kyle Davis, like, oh, no, who's in the middle of that one? Mae Valentine?
Yeah.
Like, Allison Kay's talking, and nobody hears what she's saying, and, you know, Marty Bell's yelling in Spanish. Like, I don't know, it was just weird.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There was a Tyrus, Austin Idol, Jordan Clearwater, Black G's promo where Scion came out.
He said, I like this.
This was real good.
I'm all in with this Scion and Tyrus stuff.
Scion said he is the son of a former NWA champion, which drew a confused look from Idol. He said that his father never taught him lessons growing up, so instead he sought them out by challenging guys like Tyrus. He then asked for a rematch, and Idol and Tyrus said they would get back to him. I think we're going to get a title versus mask, because Tyrus once again said, I know those eyes.
Yep.
Who is it?
I don't want to know. I know Matt knows. I don't want to know.
Oh, we know already? It's I know. Okay, appreciate that.
No.
Matt knows who it is.
I've known who it has been for like 5 months.
And I still have no clue, and I've done no research because I don't want to know.
You really don't want to know?
I really don't want to know.
Fingers on the pulse, baby. That's how I roll.
Yeah, up your ass crack.
Consummate professional. And then Tony mentioned it. The British Invasion is back. Nick Aldis, Mickey James cut a promo. They got their jackets. They want Doug Williams to come out. He kind of swerves like, maybe we were a tag team once. But he says, what the hell? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Like it.
And a great Matt, dude, PJ Hawks in there with Doug Williams was fucking dynamite, dude.
Yeah, man.
Holy shit. PJ can fucking work. It was, this match was fucking sick. It was so much better. So much better than I imagined it would be. It was fucking fantastic.
And I love the British Invasion because they were so good and so prominent in TNA back in the day. Doug Williams and Nick Aldis, man, like, I think he was called something else. I don't know if he was called Nick Aldis then. He may have been.
No, he was Magnus. Magnus.
Magnus. Yeah.
The thing.
Oh, God, to see them again. It's awesome.
The thing that's throwing me off is like, fucking Nick Aldis is such a baby face now. Like, people fucking hated him when he was a heel. People love him now. And I feel like Trevor Murdoch has become the Macho Man to Nick Aldis's Hogan. Like, yeah, he's the champ, but he's still not the main guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, you could also make the case for Ultimate Warrior, too.
Fair enough. That might be the better one because Trevor and Nick aren't really running buddies.
Yeah. And you had Ultimate Warrior feuding with, like, Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect while Hogan was still on top with weird people like Earthquake. But
that's the thing, too. Like, Nick right now is totally taking a back seat, like, trying to distance himself. But he's so fucking over, it doesn't make a difference.
All right, so people really like love him, or they hate him. Like, what's
no, they dude. It seems like, and Matt could probably vouch for me too. Like, they love Nick Aldis, dude. Like, he's fucking crazy over.
So they'll refuse to boo him no matter how he's booked.
Yeah, but because he's not. Oh. He's being 100% babyface. He's not
okay.
Yeah, like, it's a complete 180 from the National Treasure. You know, the NWA World's Champion.
Gotcha.
Super over, though. Super over. Oh, and you know what else? Trevor Murdoch was cutting a promo, and he was talking about people interrupting him and not giving him respect, and fucking who interrupted him?
Aaron Stevens.
Aaron Stevens is back, baby.
He's full of piss and vinegar.
Yes, he is.
I like it.
I like it, too. I like it a lot.
What are JTG and Dirty Dango calling themselves? The Dirty Dogs?
The Dirty Sexy Boys or something like that. The sexy boys.
Yeah, that was a weird debut too, huh? Wasn't expecting fucking Fandango to show up, but there he was.
The Dirty Dogs are Ziggler and Bobby Roode in WWE.
I don't really like Dirty Dango. That's like it's weird. It's a weird name, right?
That's what he is. That's what he uses on the indies.
I know, Dirty Dango. It sounds like Dirty Dangler, which is just fucking gross.
Oh god, what are they called? I literally, Matt, I was surprised when I saw it today too, because I literally saw it today. The Dirty Sexy Boys, I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, I think maybe. I think you're right there.
But isn't Shawn Michaels the sexy boy?
Yeah, but he's not a dirty sexy
not
boy.
Dirty. He's not a dirty boy.
Well, he's kind of fucking filthy looking.
So that was it. In a nutshell, that was the match, right?
Yeah,
that was NWA.
Yeah,
got their new show coming out on Saturdays.
Now that's free, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube. What's it called? NWA America.
Fuck yeah! Sorry.
NWA America. Yeah, and they're gonna focus on the junior heavyweights, and you'll see more of the national heavyweight title defended there. So that starts January 8th. I can't find a list of the match. I think Mickey James and Kira Hogan are taking on the Hex this week.
Ooh, interesting.
The Dirty Sexy Boys are wrestling somebody, I think.
The Bouncers?
No, I forget who they're wrestling. I don't fucking know.
Doesn't matter.
I feel like JTG and Dango are ribbing each other with the names that they're throwing back and forth.
It's possible.
But Dirty Dango's Instagram post 7 hours ago says Dirty Sexy Boys on the reg NWA Fight TV JTG.
That's funny.
They're wrestling Kratos and Stevens.
Correct.
Ooh.
Mike Knox will be in action, and Strictly Business sends a message.
So we're going to get Mike Knox in his first his second match in the NWA after going after the world championship. There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Can we do a quick this and that on MLW and fucking get all this shit over with?
MLW, Tony, tell us. I didn't watch. I think I saw that Enzo debuted this week.
Yeah, Enzo debuted. He had a match with Matt Cross. It was okay. It was a little weird. Like, I was getting more of a feeling they were trying to build Matt Cross more than they were Enzo here. Enzo cheated a little bit. It wasn't completely terrible, but it was just an okay match. It was just there. But the two big stories. So some big fucking Mama Luke is backstage fighting it out with Hammerstone. I don't know if he's some fucking leftover from Contra, but they were fighting, which led to a bit where Richard Holiday's trying to give Alicia a Toot her Christmas present, which is a Dynastic coffee mug. And Hammerstone happens to brawl by with his fucking Chooch, so he grabs the mug and smashes it over to Chooch's head. And all while Alicia Atout was pissed off that she got a coffee mug, all Holiday was thinking was, bro, you smashed my mug. These things are very valuable. And Hammerstone's like, dude. And he points to the fucking down guy on the ground. He's like, bro, this was a gift to Alicia. And Alicia couldn't give less of a shit about the shitty coffee mug. That was awesome. Tito. The other awesome thing, dude.
Tito. Hold
what? No, no, no. Come on. What? No. What? Bring it at me.
You're big Chooch.
Yeah.
Hula Hula, the pineapple man.
Was it really? He had a mask on.
Yeah, it was Matanza, the fucking Lucha Underground, Lucha Azteca, whatever the fuck.
Oh, for real? I missed that.
For real, bro.
Oh, well, fuck it. Anyway, that's not the important thing. Fuck all that. No, fuck all that. The important thing, we have brand new MLW World Tag Team Champions, and it's not the fucking Mexican guys. They're going back to working on the corners, turning tricks, like Danny Limelight said. 51-50, your new tag champs. They tried pulling the fucking switcheroo with LA Park being under the ring, and Homicide came out and said, fuck you, Fatso, get to the back, and they brawled back. I fucking enjoyed this. You know why I enjoyed this? Because the Los Parks boys, the young ones, were actually like doing some decent shit here. And fucking, you guys thought fucking what's his nuts was crazy jumping off the top sledge. You got to see fucking what's his name, Slice Boogie, just fucking throwing himself. Fucking awesome. Love this shit. Love the fact that we got new tag champs. And I can't wait for 51-50 versus them Von Erich boys in Texas. Fucking book it, baby. I'm down for that shit.
Out of excitement over there.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I like
fuck
your excitement, yeah. Tony.
I do fuck enjoy yeah, Tony's excitement, too.
I'm you don't know how glad I am that the fucking Los Parks are no longer tag champs. Long time coming.
Are you ready for the standalone MLW Azteca miniseries debuting Thursday, January 6th on YouTube and Fight TV?
I'm okay with it. I'm down with it for sure.
All right. We were talking about it last week. Ospreay not in MLW. Will Ospreay said, it will happen after all. Lads, MLW will happen, just not when it was meant to. Everyone calm your tits is what Will Ospreay
calm
said.
Your tits.
Oh.
Everybody calm your tits.
So calm your tits. Kevin, I know you said you watched Impact, and I know we're on the road to Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill, baby.
So we had a pretty stacked show. Deonna Purrazzo and Matthew, how do you say
it? Ringwald.
They wrestled Mickey James and Chris Sabin.
Yeah, good stuff. The heels actually, they sneak out the Winsky. It'll shenanigans with the ref not looking, pulling on the ropes. So, yeah, and Deonna Purrazzo just showing up in Ring of Honor, which was great, and now her still being involved in Impact and everywhere. It's that whole forbidden door, good stuff. I don't know what they're doing with Sabin right now, because Sabin was in a lot of hot programs, and now I'm not exactly sure what the deal is, but it's all good. No worries there. A lot of fun stuff in this match.
We are building to this Hard to Kill main event, which is a triple threat match, Tony. I don't know if you know this. Moose will defend the title against William Morrissey and
Always Ready! Matt Cardona holds his place in this match. Because he told Morrissey, hey man, if I lose, I'll back out, but I want to fight you. I'm telling you right now. Matt Cardona never came across as a guy that you would find threatening, like, ever. Like, he's a big dude, but he's not – he doesn't seem like he knows how to fight. But these promos these last couple weeks make you feel like he knows how to fight, and he puts on good matches. He had a great match with Morrissey, a lot of shenanigans there, but then Morrissey beat the fuck out of him after the match. Chelsea Green comes in. Morrissey drills Moose, and because Moose is involved, because it's still going to be a triple threat match now, and it was awesome. Broski got bloodied up. It was great. I'm excited that Broski is in a main event spot. Broski's everywhere, Matt.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and all right. So the other big thing, I guess, would be Josh Alexander, Jonah. He wants Jonah, but he still wants Moose. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on there.
I think he
interrupted a match between our dear, good, close personal friend, Rohit, and
Who was Rohit fighting? Oh, gosh, Christ, I have it right here. Hold on. It was Rohit versus... God, who the fuck was it?
Lawrence D.
Oh, the returning Lawrence D, not Larry D, the very dapper, not to be confused with Dre Dapper. Lawrence D.
Dax,
so Dre. Josh Alexander came in. We also saw Lady Frost.
Oh, yeah.
She's now officially signed to Impact Wrestling, and they made that kind of announcement. And they also introduced Gail Kim as Scott D'Amore's other half of the management. So now Gail Kim added Lady Frost to the first ever Ultimate X women's match. So that's going to be fun. So Lady Frost is in there with Chelsea Green, with Rosemary, with a lot of other incredible female talent. Tasha Steeles.
Rachel Ellery. So
that's going to be great. Yeah, I'll run through the rest of this stuff. A lot of funny stuff between you had the Iconics or the Inspiration with Madison Rayne and Tennille against the Decay, which was Rosemary, Havoc, and also Taurus Hogan and Crazy Steve. And that was a lot of funny stuff that was there. Tennille and Madison Rayne end up having a little falling out with the Inspiration at the end. Also, great stuff. So Impact is still good, man. It's still rolling. Rhino, Eric Young, which a lot of who's and what's it's in that one too. Heath Slater got involved. The Good Brothers got involved. A lot of good stuff. So Impact is still good, man. It's still, they're plugging along, and I hope that they keep going.
And I don't see why not. We're on the road to Hard to Kill, so I'm sure there'll be plenty more Impact talk as we get closer. That is also January 8th, I believe, is when that pay-per-view is.
Yeah. I need Finn Juice against the Learning Tree. Dear good close personal friends, former guests, VSK and Zicky Dice.
The Dice Man.
Oh, yeah. Outlandish.
Let me hit on some news and notes from New Japan for you boys. The Best of the Super Junior Finals are set. It'll be Hiromu Takahashi against Yo.
Yo.
With the winner going on to take on El Desperado at Wrestle Kingdom. If Hiromu wins, this will be his third career tournament win, his second in a row. And I think the only other person to win three times is Koji Kanemoto.
Ah.
Now, Super Juniors made sense. Finals of your World Tag League. Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi, which I'm not terribly upset about, against Evil and Yujiro Takahashi. Winning team goes on to face the Dangerous Techers.
So I'm going to go with Goto's team, I guess.
I hope. I was all in on everything is Evil, but I just hate how involved the Bullet Club is and everything. And I unfortunately have not been able to watch any of the Best of the Super Juniors or the World Tag League, but I can only assume that the Bullet Club was heavily involved.
Oh, yeah. Dick to go was fucking everything up for sure. Come on.
So, the finals take place December 15th. We got Hiromu against Yo. We got Goto and Yoshihashi against Evil Yujiro Takahashi. We'll get a preview of the main event of Wrestle Kingdom as Shingo and Bushi take on Okada and Robbie Eagles. Also, the big Shibata announcement. So let's hope that he is coming out of a retirement. I think that's my New Japan news, right? Yeah, that's my New Japan news. A couple other news and notes I just want to hit on. A friend of the show, Jimmy Rave. Unfortunately, we found out a couple hours before we recorded that he lost his battle with severe health issues. He was not doing well. As we all know, they had to amputate his arm and his legs. He had MRSA. It's been rough. It's been a rough couple of years for Jimmy Rave, but a huge influence on the world of professional wrestling, Ring of Honor, CZW. A lot of great tweets and love sent out today from all over the place. Lance Archer, the Kirks, Prince Nana, anyone that's involved with Jimmy Rave. He was in the embassy. He was in TNA with Lance Hoyt. just a nice guy, friend of the show, did the podcast. Unfortunately, you know, he just succumbed to the drug addiction and the struggles that resulted in the drug addiction and the amputations, and his health was not good. So unfortunately, Jimmy Rave passed today. So it's awful, terrible news. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, silver lining, he's probably at peace now. So there's that. So if you're going to pull anything positive out of this, he's not suffering. He's not in a bad place anymore. He's in a great place now. Not ideal for the people that he's left behind, but yeah, it's just sad. I mean, what can you really say? It's just awful. But
yeah.
We'll move from that into maybe an interesting topic. I don't know if you guys saw this last night. Devin Nicholson. Are you guys familiar with that man?
Oh, yeah.
He was known as Hannibal in the Canadian independent wrestling scene. He tried to sue Abdul the Butcher when he claimed that Abdul the Butcher gave him Hep C. And I think he even tried to sue the WWE at one point.
Probably. That sounds about right. Memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, he won a $2.3 million lawsuit against Abdullah, and that got his WWE contract pulled. So I think he also tried to sue them over that. Well, he wrestles as Bloodhunter, and he was at a show Saturday night in Irving, Texas. And there's a video up there. It is hard to watch. He essentially attacks the referee with some type of spike, which was not part of the show. And he stabbed him in the head about 20 times and then put him in a sleeper hold until his manager / girlfriend got in the ring and had to pull him off this referee. The police were called. Kevin Sullivan was involved in this, and he told everyone to kayfabe the police, according to Colby Cowperthwaite, who was the referee for the match. Apparently Nicholson was stumbling on his way to the ring. He could not be found before the match. It's just a terrible, terrible situation. And apparently those in the independent scene know that this guy is a disaster. This is not the first time there's been an issue with him. So it's big news in the wrestling world, the indie scene.
So wait, this guy stabbed a referee with a spike?
Yes.
20 times in the head. The dude wound up in the hospital.
Yeah, he tore an artery in the process.
Yep. It's gruesome, dude. You don't want to watch it.
That's not good.
Nope, not at all.
He does he has the Hannibal, what he does, Hannibal TV. Like that's
Hannibal TV, yeah.
Yeah, apparently he's a real piece of dog shit.
Oh, is this the guy that you... Oh, all right. So you posted something earlier saying don't book this motherfucker.
Piece of dog shit.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So Fightful spoke with several wrestlers on the show, placed blame on Kevin Sullivan and the booker, Eric Embry, for lack of empathy and trying to keep the situation quiet.
Wait. Eric Embry?
Now, I don't know if this is like the Eric Embry. It's just Eric Embry. I don't know if he's a booker in Irving, Texas.
It sounds about right because Eric Embry did a lot for when World Class sold to Jerry Lawler's group.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy. That guy might be dead.
Still alive.
Okay. Well, so someone corroborated that referee's story too, who said he could tell that this Devin Nicholson character was fucked up. He said they were they had him in an RV before the match, and when he came out, he stunk like booze.
Fucking
so terrible. Was he arrested?
I don't think charges were pressed.
Guy got stabbed 20 times in the head. I would hope that he would.
They shaved his head. He's a fucking disaster, bro. There's pictures on Twitter. It is not good. I think he just wants to be done with it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. If someone's in that shape where they're doing stuff like that, like, do you really want to hire lawyers and go through everything just to win a settlement that you're not going to get paid on?
I would like to get justice for the crime that was committed against me. If it was, in fact, a crime.
It sounds like it was a crime.
Yeah. Again, yeah, I this is the first I'm really hearing about it. I saw you tweet something earlier, but I don't really know anything else about it. But if someone assaulted me and like literally almost killed me, yeah, I'd like to see some sort of justice be opposed upon him if it wasn't in fact the work.
Matt, what was the name of the promotion?
Let me pull. I have it over here. I don't know if the promotion is mentioned, but World Class Pro Wrestling.
Well, that kind of makes sense. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Eric Emery would be involved. No, I'm pulling up here. He did a shoot interview with Hannibal on June 25th of this year. So there you go. It can completely be Eric Emery from the old World Class days. All could 100% be.
All right.
Sorry. I needed to know that.
Oh, no worries. The promotion announced Sunday they will no longer be using Nicholson and will do a benefit show in the future to help with this referee's medical bills. Charges have not been filed against Nicholson. He has not addressed the matter on social media, even though he posted the videos and tweets since then.
Of course he did. Fucking right, so news, bitches.
I hate to be that guy. Like, I hate to be that guy that always says, oh, okay, then it's fit and it's a work. Because if he but he posted it. The ref didn't post it.
No, the ref didn't post the videos. The ref posted a picture of his head looking like a I don't know.
What's an
ugly head with a bunch of scars in it look like?
Well, he's got a bunch of staples in his head, too.
Yeah, good old staple head.
There you go.
Not cool.
Not cool at all. The wrestling business needs to take care of garbage like this. Stop booking people like this. He is a problem.
So he has a history of this, you said, maybe.
Yes, apparently. Now, this is not the first time it's gone this far from what I have read, but he has been an issue in the past.
Okay.
And I do think it's a bit, I don't know, if you have hepatitis C, shouldn't you not be wrestling?
Does he even still have hepatitis C?
I thought that was the one that never goes away. That's why Nigel can't wrestle.
No, Nigel can't wrestle because his shoulders are fucked.
I thought it was because he got hepatitis C.
He had hep C. You can be cured of hep C.
Oh, okay. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
But the shoulder thing was like the big problem with Nigel.
Ah.
Both shoulders, by the way. Yeah.
Both shoulders.
Yeah, I thought it was. Did I remember that wrong from the documentary?
I'd have to pull it up. I thought the documentary was because of the blood.
Oh, it was, but he also had shoulder problems too, like big time from when he was younger.
I think that's all I got, boys. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you guys want to talk about?
No.
Pretty good, I think.
All right, well, next week, huge announcement for the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast.
Podcast.
Pontoon.
We will be joined by Dante Smiley. He was just on AEW Dark and Dark Elevation.
He'll be
on the 7 o'clock hour, followed by great friend of the show and AEW superstar Sonny Kiss at 8 p.m. next Monday. So please be sure to tune in. It'll be a great, great talk. We're going to catch up with Sonny, see how he's doing, talk about his thirst trap pictures that he's posting on Facebook for his birthday. It's going to be just a good time had by all.
You know what it is? Sonny saw that Kate was starting to send out some thirst trap pics, so Sonny was like, yeah, me too. So
With all due respect to Kate, I'd rather see Sonny's coolie than Katie's coolie.
Oh, come on now. Column A, column B.
I don't know.
I got nothing.
And then, not to be outdone, December 27th, Kayla Sparks will be joining the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Fucking A.
To close out the year proper.
Yes.
Big return.
So we got a lot lined up for the next couple of weeks. We're going to celebrate style, the holidays are upon us. We're not together. We are together, but we're apart. But it's going to be a good time. You know what? I have an amusing story to tell you, Tony. I got Kevin an AEW ticket for Christmas. That's my gift to him. He already knows this. I did have a gift for you, Tony.
But?
So I'm going to tell you what said gift was because I no longer have said gift because I had to pivot.
Wait, you had to return it? What? Oh, God.
And I never got it, Tony. No. I had ordered a Bruno Sammartino autographed robe for you.
What?
When it was pulled from the shelf, it looked like someone wiped their ass with the sleeve.
Ew.
And I was like, and look, to give this the seller, I will give him credit. He reached out. He was like, hey, dude, I just pulled this off the shelf and there is a brown stain on it. Do you want a refund? And I was like, let me see it. And I was like, yeah, I do. Because that kind of ruins the piece.
Oh.
So I had to pivot. Things are on the way, though. So.
Yeah, your guys' gifts are on the way. I actually was struggling to find some. I think your gift is solid. I think Kevin is really going to like his gift more this year.
Oh, yes.
I think so. You're going to like your gift. I think Kevin's going to like his gift. I just hope you don't have the gift that I got you, because I don't know what the fuck you buy anymore. Uh-huh. So if you do have the gift, I'm hoping you keep it and have two of said gift.
Oh,
because it's really, I think it's really good. But in the grand scheme of things, Kevin, I think, is really going to fucking pop hard for his gift.
I love it.
Yeah. So there you go.
So we'll celebrate the holidays in style with great guests and great friends, and we'll make great memories, and hopefully we have better internets. And big thanks to Vincent tonight and Brian Keith. We're going to work on getting him back on the show. And
ooh, can I plug something real quick?
Absolutely.
I am recording an appearance this week for our brothers on the Shining Wizards Network, The Inconclusive Breakdown.
Oh boy.
I don't want to spoil what it is, but it's one of their key things that they do every year, which is kind of similar to our picks. So there you go.
Oh boy. Tony's spreading his wings.
And I'm not the only one. Friend of the show, Handsome Dan Lopez, will also be joining me on said episode.
Oh, look at that.
It's going to be like a Shining Wizards Inconclusive Breakdown, Handsome Dan's Final Say kind of conglomeration going on.
Yeah, didn't you have a little back and forth with him on that, now that I think about it, on that Twitter post?
Oh, I didn't.
No. He was also unaware of the situation.
Yeah, he didn't know the story.
He thought I was talking about the Hep C thing.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't know about the
then, I think Scotch Drinkmore chimed in. I was like, something like, if you're jumping to conclusions over being stabbed in the head 20 times, then I guess that's on you.
Yeah, Lopez was like, my bad.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I didn't know.
No, it'll be fun. I haven't talked to Dan in a while. I haven't talked to Justin in a while. I talk to Vince periodically, but it's going to be fun.
Oh, cool. Well, that'll be fun. So look for that on the Shining Wizards Network. And we'll be back next week with another exciting episode of the Shining Wizards podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe on all forms of social media. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, those are the best avenues to watch and chat with us. We see the comments from there. For some strange reason, Twitter is not you can't comment on the, like, if you reply to our video on Twitter, we don't see it.
And don't forget, we still got some Shining Wizards X shirts. Not many left. $20. Wizardspodcast@gmail.com on the PayPal.
When they're gone, they're gone. Just
yeah,
like they
please. Gone. Please.
And we'll be back next week now for another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Until then, enjoy your wrestling. Stay safe.
Peace.
And Sunny Kiss.
Sunny Kiss next week, baby. And Dante Smiley.
And Sunny Kiss.
And Sunny Kiss.
Bye.
Tune in.
Who's clicking the thing? Who's going to press the button?
I am.
Are you putting the screen on the end?
I